marrying our existing expertise in decarbonization and infrastructure, it's a perfect partnership.
I completely agree with Larry. This is going to be the golden age of infrastructure investing, both in terms of the need for capital as well as investors who want that capital, okay?
In a move that's raising alarms across the nation, BlackRock, through its 2024 acquisition of Global Infrastructure Partners, or GIP, has surged into direct ownership of U.S. energy infrastructure.
BlackRock, one of the largest asset managers on Earth, which owns just about everything, appears to be quietly buying up huge pieces of the U.S. energy grid. But don't worry, they say it's all about building infrastructure for artificial intelligence, so don't worry about it. Nothing to see here.
Shifting from passive investor to hands-on controller of critical utilities and grids.
The company BlackRock that's f***ing everybody in America, they're going to be buying utility companies now. That's right, utility companies. They've already purchased an electric company up in Minnesota. You. They have plans to invest hundreds of billions of dollars into the utility market here in the United States so you can watch your electricity and gas bills go up to nosebleed levels.
The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission approved a $6.2 billion takeover of Elite, parent of Minnesota Power, by a BlackRock-led consortium with Canada Pension Plan in October of 2025, granting private equity majority control over power serving 150,000 customers.
This $6.2 billion deal follows months of debate and pushback from groups across Minnesota.
It is not always going to be in the financial best interest of BlackRock to keep our rates as low as possible. That's not the business that they're in. They're in the business of making profit from as many things as possible.
I'm a Minnesota Power customer. So if you have read stories over the years about beloved brands like Joann's or Red Lobster being driven into the ground by private equity, now imagine if that was your utility, because that's where private equity sector is going, as they have extracted all of the value out of the retail and service sector that they can. They are increasingly turning their attention to infrastructure and the things that make up the material basis of our lives.
Meanwhile, GIP is in advanced talks for a potential $38 billion acquisition of AES Corporation, which is a major player with renewable assets nationwide.
Larry's team drafts the game plan for restructuring portfolios, valuing toxic assets, and bailing out collapsing banks. Larry Fink had turned the greatest financial disaster of a generation into his greatest triumph. While American finance takes years to rebound, he emerges with friends in high places, more money than ever, and what he's always wanted, the influence of a president, a company like a world power, without a single campaign nor a single vote, true power. And while no one was taking notice, he has created a playing field where, no matter what, BlackRock always wins.
Thousands of miles of overhead pylons will be erected to connect offshore wind farms, solar farms, data sheds, and millions of cars and other renewable sources to that national grid.
In Texas, BlackRock's footprint grows via GIP-owned firms like Eolian, developing massive battery storage projects such as the Padua Complex near San Antonio to stabilize ERCOT amid retiring fossil plants and exploding AI-driven demand.
Blackstone is currently in the process of purchasing the Texas-New Mexico grid. BlackRock actually started under Blackstone, and while they still claim that they're separate now, if you look at their yearly reports and their quarterly reports, they still push the ESG narrative. The Texas Attorney General here has a lawsuit against BlackRock for that very reason, where they were manipulating the grids and pushing solar and wind technology and offsetting coal and oil and gas because of them pushing this ESG narrative.
Consumer advocates and experts warn of profit-driven models loading debt onto the utilities, slashing accountability, and hiking residential bills to subsidize big tech clients, eroding public oversight of essential infrastructure serving millions, and private equity prioritizes returns over resilience. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us today. A lot to kick off and dive into. A little bit of a chaotic weekend. Not as chaotic as the weekend before, but, you know, we're still catching up. We're still catching you up on all the things that you need to know about, of course. So welcome to the show. It is Christmas week. Christmas deserves a full week, not just the day, folks. It's one of my favorite times of the year. It truly, truly is. And the cool part about it is here in Texas, it's actually kind of cold. So it feels a little Christmassy. I mean, maybe not this week. Okay. But last week was freezing and then the weekend before that as well. So that is the good news. So I'm kind of feeling the Christmas vibes. Didn't quite feel it when I was living in Florida. Florida never knew it was Christmas time, but now we know. Now we know. All right, folks. I want to catch you up on what's going to happen today so far on President Trump's schedule. First off, he's in Mar-a-Lago. So he's not even in DC right now, and good for him. Good for him. The president will be taking his intelligence briefing today at Mar-a-Lago at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then later that day, he's expected to make a special announcement with the Secretary of War and the Secretary of the Navy. That will be taking place at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time today. Now, on top of all of that, let me just remind you, this is actually pretty cool. The Powerball right now is $1.6 billion. That's $1.6 billion. You might want to go grab a ticket. And if you win, you give me 10% just for telling you about it, of course. But, you know, we don't take any ad money or anything from them. I just think $1.6 billion is insane. So as many of you guys know, I'm going to be heading over there, shortly right after the show to make sure I grab a couple of tickets myself. $1.6 billion. There's a lot of things I could do with that. A lot of things I could do with that. And just so you know, it's the fourth largest prize in game history. I think it's pretty cool. Fun little fact there. All right. And I also want to catch you up on something that I just received moments ago. This coming directly from DHS. I guess it's like an incentive, a Christmas gift for the illegal aliens, the illegal invaders who have come into our country. But DHS is going to incentivize them to get the heck out of here. And they just did so by tripling the amount they were willing to give them. They're getting an exit bonus. Exit bonus. They're paying them to exit. That's what we're talking about here. It was originally $1,000 is what they were going to be paid if they voluntarily deported themselves. But now if they self-deport, they'll get $3,000. And that's only until December 31st of this year. If they register and depart before December 31st, 2025, that's Santa's Christmas gift coming a little bit sooner than expected for the rest of us. Again, it's the holiday push to get them to self-deport. Because the expense of using DHS to go after these illegals, well, it's very, very pricey. And so this is a discount to the American people at this point. So if you know any illegal aliens, tell them. We'll pay them extra just to get the heck out of here sooner. All right. I want to catch you up on what happened over the weekend. Specifically, we'll kick it off by doing a little AmFest overview. Now, there were a couple of, drama speeches. We won't talk about those, but we'll talk about the newsworthy ones. J.D. Vance took to the podium yesterday to speak at AmFest. I think he had some pretty incredible things to plug. Take a listen.
We don't treat anybody different because of their race or their sex. So we have relegated DEI to the dustbin of history, which is exactly where it belongs. In the United States of America, you don't have to apologize for being white anymore. And if you're an Asian, you don't have to talk around your skin color when you're applying for college, because we judge people based on who they are, not on ethnicity and things they can't control. We don't persecute you for being male, for being straight, for being gay, for being anything. The only thing that we demand is that you be a great American patriot, and if you're that, you are very much on our team. The only thing that has truly served as an anchor of the United States of America is that we have been, and by the grace of God, we always will be, a Christian nation.
Now, obviously, that is a very, very important speech that J.D. Vance gave. I think time and time again for the last few years, we've been hearing people beating conservatives over the head for having their political views, white conservative men specifically, and very few have spoken up on their behalf. So it's refreshing to see J.D. Vance take to the stage to remind us all of just that. Now, interesting enough, people who claim to also have conservative values went after J.D. for his speech yesterday. Take a look at this. Jared Baker, this is someone who is, I don't know how else to say this. This guy over here, I used to work with him. Part-time would be his producer for a show for Fox Business. He has just sounded off on J.D. Vance, Baker saying this. Vance to Nazis, come on in. The water's lovely. What the heck does that mean? Well, that means, obviously, that you're trying to insinuate that there's something here that isn't. You see, this is the thing about Baker. Baker is someone who I worked with. I was his producer for the Wall Street Journal at Large over at Fox Business. It was a weekend show, not very viewed. You probably never even seen it before because it has some of the lowest ratings on the network itself, because he is the host and he's very boring. He's very stale. He's not very entertaining. In fact, he's been doing this for years and he can't even cough up an audience of his own. And so Baker is somebody who would often go on when I was working there and would say, you know, vaccine mandates are wrong, knowing that me, the producer, was being pushed out of the company because Fox was pushing for a vaccine mandate. They were pushing the New York City vaccine mandate, which is illegal. Baker decided to, instead of stick up for his employees, he'd advocate against vaccine mandates and the push on air, but then behind the scenes didn't do it when he knew that his own teammates were being targeted. And the only reason why I know he knows this is because the EP of our show told me that, yeah, we spoke to Baker. And then on my very last week, he wished me well. So these are the kind of people we're up against, right? They claim to be conservative, and then they target someone by trying to pretend like J.D. Vance is a Nazi. Understand the place that these comments are coming from. These are coming from people who are not believers in the freedoms that we do have in this country. And by the way, he wasn't born here. He's not an American. He now lives here, obviously. Now probably is an American citizen. I'm not 100% certain. But he's been here for quite some time. But again, these are people who come into our country and they don't actually understand our values as Americans. Going after J.D. Vance, weak. Very, very weak. But again, this is the type of mental gymnastics they do for the slow people out there. They're hoping you're just as dumb as them, that you think that J.D. Vance's speech last night was targeted for Nazis. Yeah, so there are problems throughout the world with anti-Semitism. Yeah, okay, you could say that in certain angles. It's not just a conservative issue. And it's not even a big enough issue, I'd say. So the fact that Baker over at the Wall Street Journal is taking a swing over at J.D. Vance is just laughable at this point. But it was interesting. It was very, very interesting because it wasn't just J.D. Vance calling in a lot of the nonsense that's been going on. I was actually very proud of DNI Tulsi Gabbard. She did an incredible job speaking yesterday. And this one's a bit longer than we normally would do, but it's really important that I kept this whole soundbite whole so that there wasn't any type of context kind of taken away from any of this. So listen to Gabbard as she completely details so eloquently the Islamic threat that we face here on the homeland. Take a listen to clip two.
There is a threat to our freedom that is not often talked about enough. And it is the greatest near and long-term threat to both our freedom and our security. And that is the threat of Islamist ideology. It is propagated by people who not only do not believe in freedom, their fundamental ideology is antithetical to the foundation that we find in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, which is that our Creator endowed upon us inalienable rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, Charlie focused on this quite a bit. He talked about it in ways that very few others did because he understood this direct threat to freedom. When we look back to the attack on 9/11 that happened 24 years ago now, it changed so many of our lives, where thousands of Americans were killed by Islamist jihadis who attacked us on that day. And we were confronted with the reality of the lengths that they will go to try to attack the foundations of who we are as a country. It was a day that changed my life, probably like some of you in the room. It's what motivated me to enlist in the Army, to go out and to fight and to defend and defeat, to defend our freedom and defeat those who are attacking us. But when we talk about this Islamist ideology, yes, it is the ideology that fuels terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Al-Shabaab and Hamas and Boko Haram and others. And they must be defeated militarily. As they continue to actively plot and try to attack us, they are a threat to our security and our safety. But this Islamist ideology is a direct threat to our freedom because at its core, it is a political ideology that seeks to create a global caliphate that governs us here in America, threatening Western civilization, governance by Sharia law, governance by what they are calling their Islamic principles. And if you fail to comply, if you fail to adhere to this ideology, if you dare to exercise your God-given right to free speech, censorship is not what we face. They will use violence or any means they deem as necessary to silence us. If we don't take action to identify this threat, to define it, to call it out for what it is, and take action to defeat it, then we will find ourselves in a place where many European countries and countries like Australia have found themselves. Countries where you can get arrested for praying silently on the street corner, as has happened in the UK. Countries where you can be arrested for putting up a social media post that someone finds offensive somewhere. The threats from this Islamist ideology come in many forms. As we approach Christmas right now in Germany, they are canceling Christmas markets because of this threat. In places like Dearborn, Michigan and Minneapolis, Minnesota, Islamist clerics are openly pushing this Islamist ideology, trying to recruit and radicalize young people. Earlier this year, there was a conference that was held representing organizations like the Council on American Islamic Relations, also known as CARE, which issued a call to action to use American legal and political systems to implement Sharia law. This is already underway in places. This is already underway in places like Houston. This is not something that may possibly happen. It is already happening here within our borders. Paterson, New Jersey is proud to call themselves the first Muslim city. They are working to implement in their own governments these Islamic principles that are forced on people through the use of laws or violence. The bottom line is this: when we talk about the threat of Islamism, this political ideology, there is no such thing as individual freedom or liberty. As Charlie said over and over again, it is fundamentally incompatible with our nation's foundation of freedom.
it was great to see Tulsi Gabbard give that speech, but also give it to the public at Charlie Kirk's Turning Point event, because folks, this was a key issue for him. And that's the reason, that was one of the many reasons, obviously, why I was so heartbroken when Charlie was murdered, brutally murdered in that assassination so publicly as well, because so many people within the conservative movement are too fearful to call this out, this threat of Islam out. And Charlie wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid. And so good on Gabbard for giving that speech so publicly, in front of millions of people, of course, who are watching live, because that is important. We need that platform. They are trying their very best to suppress those brave Americans from coming forward and talking about this threat. And it's happening all over the country, specifically though in red states, and people need to wake the heck up. You need to wake the heck up, especially if you live in Texas. Texas is pretty much gone at this point. The rest of the country is catching up, though. Florida pretends like they don't have this issue as well, but they do, especially if you live in Tampa. They are intentionally targeting red states, and if you're wondering why, again, low regulations. And they side with us when it comes to school choice and other issues related to that. So that's the reason why they're popping up all over red states, and people need to wake up and listen. Speaking about waking up and listening, you know, Nicki Minaj, she's a rapper, in case you didn't know about her. In clip three, she did a great job at speaking during Turning Point. She was their special guest, but she was speaking specifically about Christians being, you know, bullied into taking kind of a silent spot position on a lot of different things. I'm going to let you guys listen to the clip real quick that she, one of the brief, like little clips that we clipped from it. I'll wait till after. This is a little controversial for me. I know a lot of people are very excited for Nicki Minaj to be there, to be present, to be speaking on that stage over at AmpFest. But I'll tell you why this is very controversial. Take a listen.
Receive that, bullies. We won't be silenced ever again. We will speak up for Christians wherever they are in this world. Amen.
Amen. I don't know if you can see this at home, but she is getting a ton of standing ovations.
I love you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Okay, the only reason why I am very on the edge about this one is because, listen, folks, Nicki Minaj, I listened to her when I was in college. She gives you great workout music, of course. Not the best, though, role model for young women out there. The lyrics are quite explicit, and it's probably something that I would never listen to this day now as I try to clean up my soundtrack list. But listen up here, folks. There's a reason why I stopped listening to her specifically. You know, years ago, we learned that she had married a man who is a convicted sex offender. And that's the reason why I stopped listening to her music. Now, there were tons of allegations thrown out there, and there was no evidence in regards to how Nicki responded to the victim. But here's this, okay? Here's what we know. The man that she's married to now is a convicted sex offender who was accused and admitted to trying to rape a child back in the 90s. Now, again, he pleaded guilty. He spent over 4 years in prison over this allegation and this conviction. It's all got me kind of on edge these days because, again, this is something that's very sensitive. Do we really want to be platforming people who have elevated sex offenders? It's a question that we must ask as conservatives. Now, again, I'm not trying to be adding to what everyone else is doing these days, which is trying to create and stir the pot when it comes to drama, especially against Turning Point. But, you know, the victim filed a lawsuit against both Minaj and her husband, and the allegations, again, which have not been proven, but she made allegations in court. You could see in the court filings in regards to all of this, saying that Minaj offered to pay her a very nice chunk of change, she alleges, in exchange for her recanting her story. So again, as we sit here and go after people like Jeffrey Epstein and others, realize who we're bringing in very close to us. I hope her husband wasn't there, especially around those college-age girls. Again, it's attempted rape. And he pleaded guilty. Now, whether Turning Point knows that or not, it was very controversial. She received a lot of backlash for marrying this man. And then later there was a lawsuit that was filed. Now, again, those are allegations that are being made by the victim. But I can only imagine what it's like to be a victim of such a heinous crime and then to have people cheerleading and pretending like it didn't really happen. So just something to keep in the back of your mind, folks, before we all get on board and cheer for a rapper to join us in this movement. All are welcome, except anyone who's empathetic to rapists, in my opinion. All right, so we got a lot more to dive into in just a bit. I'm going to go through the Epstein files because, folks, I mean, it was an absolute mess. And I even tried to reach out to the DOJ to get their fair side of all of this. Can't even speak. I'm so infuriated by this. And of course, they don't respond. Of course, they don't respond. But they're actually admitting that I know a lot of people disbelieve. There was an AP report that came out, and everyone's like, oh, no, it's the Associated Press. We don't believe them. But the DOJ openly just admitted, yeah, it's true. It's true. But there's a twist to it. I'll let you know in just a little bit on that front as well. Plus, I'm following a lot of other stories, specifically Thomas Crooks, you know, the guy who tried to murder and assassinate President Donald Trump. Well, we're learning more about Crooks. We're learning more about Crooks. And it's apparently going to be potentially some more congressional documents making their way out there about Crooks. It's all in regards to the DOJ asking a court for approval late Friday evening. They actually did get that approval. So I'll detail that for you. Plus, there's some drama in New York amongst, New York Republicans, if you want to call them that these days. New York Republicans are battling it out because, well, they wanted to. At least Stefanik wanted to run for governor. It didn't go as planned. Instead, President Trump just endorsed someone who she was very much trying not to get President Trump to endorse. In fact, she was angling for an endorsement from President Trump, Bruce Blakeman, getting the nod. Now, Lisa Stefanik has been causing a lot of problems behind the scenes. This all coming back to the time when she was nominated, I believe, to run the UN, was when a lot of this did start happening. And I've been talking to people throughout the state of New York, throughout D.C., and they've had a lot of issues with Stefanik. And President Trump has seen those issues play out right before his very eyes, and so he didn't want to endorse her. And because of that lack of endorsement, I'll tell you all the details in just a little bit, but it really had her fired up. Now she's leaving politics, it looks like. For now. I also want to give you an update because the FBI director, Kash Patel, is very excited to push his new biometrics push. Yeah, in case you're wondering, he's very happy to promote biometrics being captured. Now, again, if it's for foreigners exclusively, I'd be on board for this, but it never stops at foreigners. It always becomes a privacy invasion for the rest of us, of course. And he's talking about that on X. We'll bring you the details in just a little bit as well. And plus, Fulton County, ooh, this one's going to get good. Fulton County is being exposed again for the election fraud. You know, everyone had their lives ruined by Fulton County. Well, they're finally being redeemed. Unfortunately, though, there's really no financial compensation for that as of right now. But in Fulton County, it's exposing its own election fraud because they're being forced to do just that. You'll never guess the latest admission that they just had to make. I'll be talking about that in a little bit, too, throughout today's show because it's a big one. It's a big one. Folks, in the meantime, though, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. As I told you last week, we just launched the new Ultimate Power. If you're someone who's looking to enhance your energy levels, focus, blood flow, and endurance, this formula is for you. It has incredible natural energy boosting for you at home. Vitamins like B12 and B6 as well. But most importantly, it has natural caffeine, about 100 milligrams of caffeine, which is the equivalent to about one cup of coffee without that midday afternoon crash. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and try out Ultimate Power. Available at thealexjonesstore.com right now. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula and you like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said,
This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome back to the American Journal website that you're all jumping on with us today. Let's just bring you a quick update in regards to the arrests of the deep state operatives. Let's check in with Pam Bondi's office, see what they've been up to lately. Oh, well, looks like we're still at zero. When it comes to any type of Russian collusion hoax arrest, January 6th, Mar-a-Lago raid, the Biden auto pen, 2020 elections, the Epstein pedophile arrest, COVID-19, and the Ukrainian impeachment hoax. Oh, all just down the line, 000. So what the heck has Ms. Pam Bondi been up to? I mean, she's been sitting and occupying that space for over 10 months now. She's got to be doing something. Well, folks, she was forced over the weekend to drop all of the Epstein files. She was supposed to, at least supposed to. Didn't quite meet the deadline, and it was very, very messy. Very, very messy. There was news, obviously, images we saw. We saw lots of images of Bill Clinton, of course. Bill Clinton hanging out with a lot of women.
maybe some young girls. All we know is that their faces are boxed out, redacted. Why? Well, because according to the law, they're supposed to redact the faces and protect the victims. So when you see images like this, one must assume, is that a victim? We've got several photos with young girls who appear to be young girls. We just can't tell because their faces are blocked out. And according to the law, they're supposed to be protecting victims. So again, is that a victim? Well, many of us have a lot of questions for Mr. Bill Clinton. Unfortunately, though, probably won't ever be able to ask those questions. You see, the DOJ is pretending and Pam Bondi's pretending like they are still on the case when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein. Reminder, she didn't really do anything when she was a Florida AG besides help make sure that none of this really came about, came to the surface. She did a good job at that. But she wants you to know, by the way, everyone who does the X community notes, it was a busy weekend for you because you were just constantly slapping community note after community note on the DOJ's post. Pam Bondi tweeting about the DOJ's previously stated, we will bring charges against anyone involved in the trafficking and exportation of Epstein victims. We reaffirm this commitment. Wow, Pam Bondi, it's such a brave take. Such a brave take. Hey, if you or anyone you know are a victim of Jeffrey Epstein, please contact myself, the Deputy AG Blanche, or the FBI, and we will investigate immediately. Yeah. You're better off just contacting me if you're an Epstein victim, because I'll at least investigate it and make it public so that the world knows exactly what was done to you, rather than the DOJ and the FBI, who we now can confirm. We've known this for years, though. Actually did more to defend Jeffrey Epstein by burying all of this than helping the actual victims. And if you're wondering how we know this, well, time and time again, we continue to see all of these victims coming forward and saying, you know, I tried. Sound the alarm. Oh, look, one of the victims also said, too, that she tried reporting it to police. We'll get to that in a second. And what happened? Well, she reported to the FBI and the FBI didn't do anything with it. But there's a document that backs that up now in case anyone doubted that victim or the woman who's trying to sound the alarm, be a whistleblower in all of this. But don't worry, the DOJ has put out a fact sheet in case anyone out there wants to spread disinformation about their disinformation. Here's the fact sheet. And I love when they put these out because they're just so unable to defend their own actions that they have to put out these little bullet points. These are normally the talking points that their talking heads like Bondi would get before a Fox hit, but they're giving it straight to you, thanks to the DOJ. Now, number one, the DOJ is admitting to the redactions, saying that the DOJ is committed to transparency and redacting only what is legally required. I'll tell you why in a second, why that's BS. No redactions have been or will be made to protect famous individuals or politically exposed persons. Okay. That's a key point here that we're trying to make. Interesting enough, let's get, according to Fox News, and I want to pull this little bit up, because Fox News actually did speak with someone over at the DOJ, it sounds like, because they put this up. This is in their own article. And I'm sure they corrected this once it was made. First off, the redactions are only supposed to take place for victims. This is to protect the victims, which we'll talk about how they didn't even do in the first place. The same redaction standards were applied to politically exposed individuals and government officials. That's DOJ telling Fox News Digital. So they put out these fact sheets after their own people apparently give the wrong quotes. The FBI does this too. They try to do it to my story too. They usually say that they blame us, say it's fake media reporting, garbage. They're the ones who are actually pushing out all the disinformation. We're the ones trying to do some digging. And the DOJ then putting out another statement too about all of this. It's just like statement after statement after statement. It's such a mess, man. It's such a mess over at the DOJ. And I've never seen a community note like this before. I mean, Todd Blanche getting community noted, and then the DOJ getting community noted, and then Pam Bondi getting community noted. Literally, it's nonstop. It's all the way. I mean, it's a long, long essay of community notes you have to read through to find the truth. Thankfully, we have community notes. DOJ coming out saying photos and materials, other materials, will continue being reviewed and redacted. Again, this is what they're putting out there. And if you just scroll down a little bit, you'll see that even Todd Blanche's community noted, DOJ community noted. I mean, I've never seen this many community notes. They're even citing Wikipedia, which isn't even a real source. But it's more reliable these days than the old DOJ. The cover-up is real. The cover-up is very, very real. And so while they'll come out and say, oh, no, we only redacted the names of victims, they said it themselves to Fox News, and Fox News is a direct pipeline to the DOJ, then anyone who has some like type of political exposure, they're going to make sure that they don't release that either. Yeah, but hate to wrap up someone who has a political future, a bright political future ahead of them, because you can't sit there and blackmail them into voting for bad policies. You put out all their dirt for the public to see. No, you can't. Interesting enough, though, while they sit there and claim that they are protecting victims, one victim has actually come forward and said, they didn't protect me. My name was actually listed several times in the Epstein dump on Friday. Jane Doe, who is an Epstein survivor, according to one attorney, who reported Epstein to the FBI back in 2009, sent the following letter to the DOJ today after they failed to redact her name in the release. Now, this attorney also says that they've confirmed her name is currently not redacted in multiple public files. Oh, victims. Did you not read the fact sheet? They said they didn't do it. So you must have this all wrapped up in your little mind. And here's the part that really gets me going, folks. The fact they think that you're just as stupid as they are. That you're going to eat up this nonsense and you're not going to do any digging on your own. You see, of course, once the government released these files, everyone mass downloaded it and then stashed it off. Because you know what the government does. It's why Mel Kay literally has an archives website on her website where you could go to her page and she archives government documents because often they realize, ooh, weren't supposed to release that. And they ink it down. So you'll find things often that you're not supposed to see. And the DOJ is claiming that they're only doing it to protect the victims. Again, the law that was signed into law just a couple of weeks ago only allow them to redact names of victims, not everyone else. Not all of your donors and others. But the mass amount of redactions is just completely off the charts. Now, take a look at this. The Associated Press, and I know a lot of us get a little cringy when it's the AP. Again, I don't trust them either. But they got it right. And I had a feeling they got it right. Because when I went to go look, I didn't see those documents there. The Associated Press stating that there was at least 16 files that were posted and then removed from the website. Now, of course, because I am fair and balanced, you know me, I always reach out to the DOJ before saying anything. I did share their article, though, and told you, the people, that I was reaching out for a comment. A lot of people are like, oh, why would you push out AP stuff? This might have some legitimacy. Obviously, before I push it out, I'm going to go to the website and look, which is publicly available to you all at home as well, to do the same. You know, a lot of people jumped on me and said, don't promote the AP. How could you do that? That's so stupid. I think my followers are a lot more intelligent than the average person. I don't need to make those decisions for them. So this is what the AP accused the administration of doing. They accused them of removing 16 files from their website. Well, we were told not true. Oh, once he actually showed the proof, all right, it's true. It's true. The DOJ actually admitted to doing just that. And they waited 24 hours after the AP went after them for it to put out a statement. Again, I reached out to them. They didn't respond. In a statement, they're claiming that the Southern District of New York flagged an image of President Trump for a potential further action to protect victims. The DOJ claims that out of abundance of caution, the Department of Justice temporarily removed that image for further review. After the review, it determined that there was no evidence that any Epstein victims are depicted in the photography. And so, again, they reposted it. That's what they're saying, without any type of redactions being made to that. Now, here is why that's so important, that statement, specifically the Southern District of New York. which, as many of you guys know, isn't very Trump friendly. It's actually not friendly to any conservative. You're telling me that the Southern District of New York thought that an image with President Trump may also have included a victim? So they wanted to create more of a cloud of doubts. Isn't this what you do? I mean, it's very clear Pam Bondi has not fired those over at the Southern District of New York who were behind all the corruption that we've seen over the last, I don't know, 10 years you want to go with. And so you still have these key players and these key positions. And so wouldn't you do a move like this if you were a corrupt deep state operative? Say, oh, wait, hold on. Take down that image because President Trump's in it. Again, trying to cast a cloud of speculation that President Trump somehow, some way is a pedophile. They've done this time and time again, even though there's zero evidence of this. They continue to push that narrative. So if I'm just going to state my opinion, given what we know about the Southern District of New York, it's very, very likely that the Southern District of New York likely flagged it after it was posted, took it down, and then somehow maybe the AP saw it and was like, ooh, good story about this. Again, it's an image of Trump. We've seen it before. Jeffrey Epstein constantly taking photos with a lot of celebrities. And we know that President Trump was not a fan of Jeffrey Epstein. In fact, kicking him out of Mar-a-Lago because he was a creep. But again, they have to spin this as if there is some type of connection, create some type of cloud of doubt over President Trump and his relationship with Epstein. So if you're the DOJ, now would be a good time to kind of look into that, one would think. Maybe who at the Southern District of New York decided to do that, make that move, make that call? Was it an order that came from someone who has been there for quite some time? And we know that they've been trying to go after him. So just think about it. It's the only logical answer here. So when it comes to what we saw unravel over the weekend, I mean, listen, Pam Bondi can say what she wants, right? She was given a deadline and she was forced to release all of the Epstein files by a specific time period. Now, of course, that takes a lot of time to do and go through and to sift through the thousands of pages of information. Again, I mean, they had all these documents in front of them. You're telling me you don't have a single piece of evidence that goes after and actually could convict a high-profile official for raping children? I find that really, really hard to believe. Oh, we don't have a list, but we just have thousands of pages of evidence that this guy was a pedo. No list, though. Sorry, guys. See, this is the problem. This is why the American people do not believe any of the garbage that's coming out from this DOJ. It's not a hoax. You've been demanding this. The president ran on this. And now the people are holding him to his word. And he has since signed it into law. So the president's done what he has to do. But the DOJ is still not doing what they're supposed to do. You see, Pam Bondi has obviously multiple times fumbled this one. Big time, big time, big time. And now she is sitting here pretending to be the most transparent AG we've ever seen in this country. No, she's not. Again, zero arrests. Zero arrests. Oh, she's gone after fentanyl. That's great. But we have a country to actually save right now. And how do we save that country? You have to get rid of the filth that are still lingering in the swamp. Remember Drain the Swamp? That was a commitment that was laid out years ago by the president. He did not get to do any of that in the first term. You think if they all get away with what they did to the president and all of his allies and conservatives all across this country, that it won't happen again, that it won't be significantly worse than it was the first time? Of course it will. Of course it will. You have a very limited time frame to get things done, and you're not doing it. You're not doing it. You know, Congressman Thomas Massey, I know a lot of people are very upset by all of this, but Massey has been on this, and rightfully so. And again, he's really one of the very few principled members of Congress that we have still left. So he's getting ready to draft up, as he announced over the weekend, articles of impeachment against Pam Bondi. Take a listen to clip 5.
What are you going to do about it to force them to comply? I mean, can you do anything?
Oh, absolutely. Look, people have talked about, and by the way, Todd Blanche is the face of this, but it's really the Attorney General's office, Pam Bondi, who is responsible. And there are several ways to get at this. Some take longer, some are shorter. The quickest way, and I think the most expeditious way to get justice for these victims is to bring inherent contempt against Pam Bondi, and that doesn't require going through the courts, and give her, and basically Ro Khanna and I are talking about and drafting that right now.
See, the DOJ has some level of immunity. It's really frustrating because Pam Bondi has not done what she's supposed to do. And, you know, over the weekend, I was actively reaching out to attorneys to see who could help me in making sure that we get all this information out there and that they stop redacting things that are not, not related to victims. And so I'm weighing out the legal measures right now. They are very well protected. And this is the problem with the DOJ. We need very specific wording, which will force the government to hand over everything. Unfortunately, though, we're up against the law. So I'll continue to keep reaching out to attorneys to see what can be done, but Pam Bondi needs to be held accountable. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Now, the deputy AG, Todd Blanche, obviously, like you heard Massey say, has been the face of this for quite some time now. And again, he's a Dem. He just represented President Trump, and President Trump likes him a lot, and so he gave him this position. But again, not much being done, probably because it's being stonewalled by this individual. When I reach out for comment on a lot of things, or when I reach out to my sources internally, they tell me all the time that things just land on his desk and they just stay there. And then one of his former top aides also saying, oh, your sources are good. There's just a lot on his desk. Well, Todd Blanche is going after Massey, obviously, now because he's not happy that Massey continues to call them out for failing to do the most basic thing, which is to release the Epstein files. Take a listen to clip six.
Congressman Thomas Massey and Ro Khanna, the authors of the Epstein bill, say the partial release of files failed to comply with the law. They say they are considering looking into the possibility of impeachment proceedings, contempt, even criminal referrals for obstruction of justice for DOJ officials. Do you take these threats seriously?
Not even a little bit. Bring it on. We are doing everything we're supposed to be doing to comply with this statute. And Congressman Massey and these other congressmen that are coming out speaking negatively about Director Patel and the Attorney General have no idea what they're talking about. They know the work that we're going through. They know what we're doing to protect victims. I mean, just think about what we're doing. You're talking about a million or so pages of documents. Virtually all of them contain victim information. So, listen, the idea that Attorney General Bondi would ever let a single piece of paper go out of this department that contains victim information is something they know we won't do. And the fact that they're threatening to impeach her for protecting victims is a reflection of where their head's at. It's not a reflection of this department. We are complying with the statute. We will continue to comply with the statute. And if by complying with the statute, we don't produce everything on Friday, we produce things next week and the week after, that's still compliance with the statute. There is well-settled law, as they should know, that in a case like this, where we're required to produce within a certain amount of time, but also comply with other laws like redacting information, that very much trumps, redacting information very much trumps some deadline in the statute.
See, this is the problem with all of them, and this is my little joke. Let's just start redacting our own reports. No, but seriously, folks, this is so insane, the fact that they sit here and continue to pretend like they've been doing their job. They have not been doing their job. Pam Bondi has had months, 10 months specifically, to get the Epstein files ready. In fact, she had no problem misleading the public by pretending with her little, what was it, phase one of the Epstein file dumps, that she was actually doing something. She's not doing anything, folks, besides standing in the way. And Todd Blanche, as you hear him go out there and say all the time, he's, again, a Democrat. And so his, whatever you want to call it, is quite questionable. I still don't understand how he got this position. It doesn't make any sense. And if you sit here and you've been, you know, waiting for a big arrest or any actual truth, you're seeking justice, it hasn't happened at the DOJ. Now, everything takes time. It's a process. It's a process. Oh, but the Biden regime last time around, well, when they took over, they were able to get through that process quite well, rapidly, some might say, actually. Within a matter of a couple of months, hundreds of arrests of conservative Americans because, well, they took an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th. And so we see how they are able to work when they're put in these positions. But unfortunately for the rest of us, hope you weren't waiting for anything. Waiting for anything of substance, at least. Pam Bondi has been absolutely awful. I knew it. I knew it. And you sat here and you watched a confirmation hearing. You knew they were being way too nice to her. And if you watched her job as a Florida Attorney General, someone who supported the red flag laws and so much more, it was quite clear why she was someone who was the front runner for all of this. And what the president knew all of that, well, only history will tell. But what we can tell you is I know for a fact that the FBI has at least tried their very best to push forward and get information out there. I know that this was something that Director Patel and the Deputy Director Dan Bongino made a top priority. They wanted the information out there. They tried their very best to push. Maybe actually that's the reason why, and this is my speculation here, maybe that's the reason why Dan Bongino announced that he was leaving the agency prior to this big release. Maybe. But again, it's important to note that the FBI isn't innocent in all of this. According to the documents that have been dumped, the FBI was warned that Epstein was into child pornography, but ignored it for over 10 years. I don't think they ignored it. They used him as a tool. A former employee of the late Jeffrey Epstein alerted the FBI that he was interested in child pornography and that he had threatened to burn her house down decades before Epstein became fixated on the child porn. Now, interesting enough, when you look through the document, which her name was originally redacted from this, but it actually, I'm trying to find the actual document for you now. Found earlier in the week or the weekend. Specifically, though, she did report it to the FBI. They redacted her name. She came forward, though, and said that this was actually her and that she tried to report this to the agency and nothing was done about it. Nothing was done about it. Again, that criminal complaint, can't find it right now, but we'll find it later and post it on my X page. That complaint was specifically made directly with the FBI, and they drafted up that document, and that document was in their possession for years, decades. He had an fixation with going after children, obviously, child pornography. Apparently, according to her, she believed that he was selling it. And they did nothing, absolutely nothing. Maria Farmer is her name. And she was hired apparently to help purchase art. She filed a complaint on September 3rd of 96, but it took nearly 10 years more for the notorious sex abuser began to face, obviously, legal scrutiny. She's been waiting for them to do something about this. So many failures on behalf of the FBI and others. How do you keep this agency up and running still? We were promised that it wasn't going to be, but here we are. Still no big moves over there. Folks, in the meantime, I want to tell you all to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because it is the final days of Christmas sale, 60% off mega sale that includes some of your favorite gummies like the sea moss gummies, Shilajit as well, and methylene blue. That is up to 60% off right now, just those. And then others are 40% off as well. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and stock up now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Mr. Mark Mitchell over at Rasmussen Reports, because he's got a bunch of really, really good polls that have just gone up. And man, oh man, do we want to hear from him right before the holidays? Why not? And Mark Mitchell is also at AmFest too. He's making his rounds. You know, it's pretty cool to see Mark Mitchell rise his way to the top of this world, this little conservative media bubble. But he's not political. He could go on anyone's show if they want him. But it's very, very interesting to see play out. You know, it all started with a phone conversation between me and Mark one day. When we're talking about the polls over Rasmussen Reports, it's like, we could use you on a show. And then that's where it all happened. I was a producer at the time. We were having a conversation and, he was just, he's really good at delivering the information while still being entertaining. Sometimes people get lost in the numbers, but you don't with Mark. It's actually very, very compelling. And so since then, obviously he has, gone on some very important shows, even meeting with the president of the United States. I'll take credit for that. I'll take credit for that, of course. But he's got some incredible polls coming our way in just a little bit. Like 50% of Republicans suspect that Venezuela helped rig the elections. That's a massive one. So we'll talk to him in just a little bit. We'll also ask him about President Trump's polling numbers, because people aren't really liking President Trump these days. It looks like, according to the numbers. He'll join us a little bit to break down that as well. Also joining us to give us the very latest on what he's been working on, Dan Lyman. He's one of the incredible reporters here on InfoWars, and man, oh man, has he been working on a lot of stories. He was actually pumping out stories all weekend long. There's so much going on in regards to the illegal aliens who have infiltrated our country and the push to get them out of here. And so Dan Lyman will be joining the show to tell us what he has been digging into. And I mean, there's a lot there. There's a lot there. So we'll have him on in just a little bit. We'll also be digging into a couple of other stories as well. And I guess we'll take time to take your calls. I mean, there's so much going on. It's like, we might as well. I'm sure a lot of you guys have a lot to say about Epstein. We'll get that in the third hour of the show, though, of course. But I'll be giving you the little inside scoop behind the New York Republican drama that's been going on. Elise Stefanik, the congresswoman from New York, was not very happy because President Trump refused to endorse her. And since then, she's dropped out. She's not running for re-election for Congress. He since has, and I actually like him, he since backed Bruce Blakeman, who I would say is a fair one. Now, again, obviously, it's New York, blue state. Yeah, we know. But Bruce Blakeman, actually, he actually came on my podcast after a crazy arrest that happened in Nassau County. I like the guy. I like the guy a lot. So I was excited when I saw President Trump endorse him. Again, Elise Stefanik has been pulling dirty political games for, I'd say, a couple of weeks now, maybe a couple of months. It really seemed to ramp up after President Trump pushed her over as the nominee for the UN. And then obviously she was not allowed to go forward with that because they didn't want to lose their congressional seat. So we will get to that in a minute. Oh, let's do this in clip 7. Let's play this for a second. Many of you.
For unvaccinated. We are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated, for themselves, their families, and the hospitals they'll soon overwhelm. But there's good news. If you're vaccinated and you have your booster shot, you're protected from severe illness and death.
All right, good news. You survived the winter of death. For the fourth year in a row, we're heading into the winter of death. And if you're unvaccinated, now is the time to celebrate, because you, my friend, are, well, they can't seem to kill you off. I can't seem to kill you off. Who remembers that, sitting there and listening to the rambling, I guess would be the term,
moron who was just a big pharma mouthpiece pushing those jabs, which we now know, which we always knew, were probably not good for the American people, but nobody cared at the time. They had money to make. They had money to make. Oh, Joe. Doesn't the guy have prostate cancer or something now? Something crazy? Anyways, probably not going to pin that on the jabs. I would hate to ruin that money train for everyone else. Folks, we have more to discuss in a little bit. Mark Mitchell joining us in a second. Don't go anywhere.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at the alexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all here today. A lot going on over here. You know, let's just remind you guys again, because we spent the last segment, I did at least, ripping into the DOJ for failing to do their job. Let me just remind you, zero arrests still. No arrests. I've been doing countdown for quite some time now. I've been hoping one day to stop doing it, but now I could probably just schedule these tweets at this point because, again, DOJ not doing their job. So let me just remind you, there are zero arrests for the Russian collusion hoax, zero for January 6th, zero for Mar-a-Lago raid, Biden-Penn, auto-Penn, 2020 election, Epstein pedophile arrest, which the DOJ claims are taking seriously now. You should go to them if you have been a victim of Jeffrey Epstein, of course, or any of his allies. That's laughable if it wasn't so tragic. COVID-19, also no arrests there, or the Ukrainian impeachment hoax. So good news there. At least she's consistent. We're told to wait, though, every time I keep asking it. So be patient. Be patient, Brianna. Be patient. This is a process. Shame on all of them. Speaking of that, let's turn to another issue. I keep saying that we need to really work on the election fraud issue, because we all know in 2020 there was a ton of election fraud. The only reason why they were unable to do it again in 2024 was because, I mean, it was just so obvious. Kamala Harris, not a likable candidate, but also most importantly is we the people really showed up for that election. But it's interesting because Americans are on edge these days about election fraud. It's being polled constantly by Rasmussen Report, but they actually have a new poll out there. I think it's really important. I'm going to get to first. 58% of Republicans suspect that Venezuela helped rig the U.S. election. Now, again, obviously we're ramping up our attacks on Venezuela, seizing another oil tanker just over the weekend. But it's quite obvious the American people think that Venezuela played a role in just stealing our elections. Now, Nicolas Maduro is someone who's been called out by even Barack Obama when he was occupying the White House. And so this is a serious issue, of course, and it's one that we must dive into. Welcome to the show, Mark Mitchell. He is the head pollster over at Rasmussen Reports, and he joins us now after a very long weekend, Mark, of partying it up in Arizona with all the great people over at AmFest. So we're excited that you are joining us today. All right, before we dive into this Venezuela poll, give us a little brief little recap. How was AmFest?
It was interesting. It was, man, I'm still a little hoarse. I was out to like 3 a.m. the other night.
Wow.
It was wild. You know, I think it was the biggest AmFest ever. Mm-hmm. And there were definitely some interpersonal dynamics going on there. A little bit of drama coming out real hot with Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro on the first night. And that was kind of like a subtext, a thread that wound through all the speakers. But quite frankly, I didn't really listen to any of the speakers, and I still have to watch the J.D. Vance speech, which I hear was absolutely excellent. That's what I was there for. And I did a panel. It was an interesting panel. I think one of the biggest AmFest, the biggest AmFest they've ever had. And a lot of people who I met in the influencer circle, all these under 30 people who are on Instagram. So my takeaway is that even though Twitter's really great, I should be on Instagram, get my Instagram feed going. So come help me out, people. I'm like a boomer. I don't know how that stuff works. But the one big thing that I thought was, this was a big takeaway for me. So in my panel, it was packed. It was hundreds and hundreds of people, standing room only. And I think they were there for Jack Posobiec. So I'm not, you know, my head's not that big, but, but they wanted to hear what I had to say. One of the things that Jack was saying is he was pounding his fist and saying, we need to make this more about Biden. Biden, Biden, Biden. This is Biden inflation. Biden did this. And one of the things that I said that got a lot of cheers was, no, I mean, Biden was bad, but it was like the cherry on this, you know, multi-decade experience of America essentially being strip mined by corporations and the government. And our problems go much, much, much deeper than Biden. And then I said personally, you know, it wasn't Biden inflation. It wasn't Biden's border invasion that personally destroyed my career. It was George H.W.'s Immigration Act of 1990, and the whole room broke into cheers. And so there's this aspect that I thought was very interesting, that these people are very informed about the systematic underlying drivers of what is putting us in the position that we are in right now. And it's actually a multi-party thing. So I think that they'll respond positively to like rah, 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 red team kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, they want systematic reform, and these people are awake to it. And you can see it in the Venezuelan polling, because when you ask if it's likely that Venezuela is actually involved in rigging the elections, well, not only Republicans, but, you know, the 18 to 29s are very familiar with these claims, way more than other people. So they're seeing it on the internet, and they're following this stuff very closely.
Yeah, and I think it's important, right, as we continue to talk about Venezuela specifically and reporting on how things are kind of ramping up a bit here in regards to that. You know, we just seized another oil tanker. President Trump saying he's going to keep doing it, because they're hoping for Nicolas Maduro to step down, and they're creating that pressure that I think is important. Now, although I believe we don't have boots officially on the ground to tell us about, I think it's very obvious to my sources that things are getting ready to ramp up soon, and they probably have some on the ground support so far that are there, probably not in an official capacity with the Pentagon right now. But again, I mean, things are heating up, and there's no other way to look at this. You know, Mark, when it comes to Venezuela, I know a lot of Americans, especially Trump supporters, do not support there being another war in regards to going after Venezuela and having boots on the ground there. But what else are you guys learning about? Have you guys done any other – I think you have done other polling on Venezuela specifically, but is there anything else that you're hearing from the people of the country in regards to Venezuela? Because we're watching President Trump's numbers, and his approval numbers are kind of going down.
Well, yeah, they, you know, there was a freak out about 2 weeks ago, and Donald Trump was out there counter-signaling his base for most of November. There was a lot of talk about whether he really understood the affordability issue. We have polling that shows that a lot of people think he doesn't. And, you know, Republicans kind of puked. Donald Trump got down to a 53% strong approval rating. He was in the mid to low 70s with Republican voters. And he's kind of recovered a little bit. I don't know what today's number is. I think it's underwater 5 or 6. That's not great, but it puts him about on par with where Obama was in both of his terms at this point of the year. I don't think Trump approval really matters as much anymore. This is all about going forward. What happens with J.D. Vance, and his polling is very good, and what happens with Republicans, and their polling is not the best, right? But we have this nexus of foreign policy problems that we've been watching really closely. And what's kind of wild is you have Ukraine, you have Israel, and you have now Venezuela. And it's always hard to know what's really moving the numbers, but I'm just getting a gut feel that Venezuela is not really moving the needle. Like, people really aren't registering it that much. And we have Ukraine and NATO polling as well, because I've been interested about whether people would, like, puke over NATO in the same way that the younger voters are just absolutely rebelling about Israel. So there's something very specific about what's going on in the Middle East that's making especially young voters rebel. And we can all see it online. And that's not really happening over Venezuela and Ukraine. I mean, you have some people talking about how we shouldn't be there, but it's not really part of the discussion right now. And I think this polling kind of tells you that people get that there's something deeper going on. So just to be very specific about the numbers, President Donald Trump has drawn attention to claims the government of Venezuela has been involved in rigging elections in the United States and other countries. How familiar are you with these claims about Venezuela rigging elections? And this is wild because most people would say, oh, it's a, you know, fringe conspiracy theory. But as you know, being employed for InfoWar, that these things are usually conspiracy facts. And America is actually pretty good at sniffing these things out. And so just like 66% of America thought it was likely, that was the high watermark, that the 2020 election was affected by cheating, here, a majority of Americans, 51%, are at least somewhat familiar with these claims. And only 17% are not at all familiar. And, you know, like part of this might just be because some of the online polling, these people are more online. But I mean, the numbers, 56% of 18 to 29 year olds, they're like, oh yeah, 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 we know about that. We heard about that. Only 37% of them say they're not familiar. Republicans, you know, the number is 61%. So almost 6 in 10 Republicans have heard that Venezuela is stealing our elections. And 35% are unfamiliar, even 44% of Democrats. And a significant chunk actually think it's likely. It's 38% of all voters think it's likely, based on what they know, that Venezuela is actually involved in rigging elections in the United States. So that's kind of it, like the CIA killed JFK kind of levels there, which I think 41% last time we asked that. Only 47% say not likely. So what's kind of wild to me is that if you've read the book Stolen Elections, the implications are really, really, like really profoundly deep here.
Yeah, and I think
it's not just that Venezuela. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Mark, I also think, you know, when you break down the age range on a lot of this, you know, a lot of the big networks, the cable news networks, don't discuss this at all. So it kind of makes sense why those folks wouldn't understand it. For those who get their information from the internet, from sources like X and other entities, obviously they might be more in tune with all of that. I think that's important in itself because, again, a lot of these networks are afraid to touch these types of allegations. Specifically, we know Fox News is, after they were forced to cough up millions and millions of dollars. So obviously they won't discuss it, but the rest of us will. And so I think that kind of speaks volumes. I also want to get to the NATO poll that you just cited as well, because I think this is really interesting, that 62% of likely U.S. voters view NATO very favorably. I thought that number would be significantly less, but that includes 29% who view it very favorably as well. What are you learning in regards to that? Because that seems extremely high.
So I just wanted this benchmark number because my theory of the case, as I've laid out with Alex very clearly multiple times, is that we're in the middle of the fourth turning. And what we're going to see is that these institutions that have rotted, that are mostly controlled by boomer values and boomer people, the pendulum is going to swing very rapidly now to a new set of values. And when you look at boomers, they're really in a, like, as Nick very eloquently pointed out with Piers Morgan, they're very into isms and ists, and they're into labels, and they're into these ideas, right, of supporting these quasi-religious ideologies. And the young people aren't like that at all. In fact, they have absolutely no loyalties, in my opinion, to any kind of label. They're actually more interested in the fundamental things like authenticity, fairness, like justice, and they think the system is unjust. And so they're increasingly rebelling against these kind of boomer values. And Israel was a really big one because 20 years ago, there was no age difference at all on the issue of Israel versus Palestine. And now it's one of the biggest signals in polling in the age group. 18 to 29 is less than 20% of them support Israel, but it's 60% of voters over 65. So the reason I've been testing NATO is because I think that's coming soon, but we're not quite seeing it yet. So you have this aspect, which is kind of wild, is that like Israel has really bad approval ratings because of it's in the news, but people still kind of like Zelensky and people still kind of like NATO. And this is higher favorabilities than any political figure at all right now. So it's like, yeah, 62%, only 6% have very unfavorable, and even Republicans, 56% of Republicans have a very favorable, they have a favorable impression of NATO, only 18% very favorable though. But then we ask, well, should the U.S. continue to give more money to NATO than other member countries? And only 37% say yes. So there's like some aspect of, well, you know, we're not exactly ecstatic about our particular arrangement with them, but only 44% say no. I mean, it's a plurality. 60% of Republicans say no to us giving more money than everybody else. But half of Democrats say yes. Only 30% of them say no. And then finally, should the United States leave NATO? And this is a pet issue for me because I don't want my young kids drafted into World War III with Russia because of Western European expansionism. I mean, we're getting like kind of Fourth Reich signals out of Germany and stuff like that. Like mm-hmm. they want a European army. If you hear the way the NATO head's talking about just it's almost like he's slobbering over the idea of having a two-front World War III with Russia and China, and they're expanding hospital beds in France. Like, what are we even doing here? But should the U.S. leave NATO, 20% say yes, and 59% say no. 57% of the under 30 voters, so they are less likely to say no than anybody else. 23% of them say yes. Only 32% of Republicans think we should leave NATO. Only 12% of Democrats. So obviously Democrats like love this whole, you know, cucking ourselves to the international audience. I mean, they're on board for that. As for like Trump voters, only 29% of Trump voters say yes. So people aren't ready to give up on it yet. And I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's just not in the news enough. Maybe we actually have to see like some kind of false flag or some kind of predicate to military involvement, but I think like Western Europe sort of tiptoeing into that Ukrainian situation, and it should have been done by now. Like we should have been out of there, and it ain't great.
Yeah. Well, things seem to still be escalating too between Russia and Ukraine. And, you know, just a couple of hours ago, I believe it was 2 hours ago, I saw something come down on the pipelines about Russia. Apparently the Russian deputy foreign minister saying that Russia is ready to legally confirm that it has no intentions on attacking the EU or NATO, according to them. And then I saw last week they were trying to float the idea that the Russians are okay with Ukraine joining the EU as well. Joining NATO as well is kind of the rumor they were trying to circulate as well. So it's an absolute mess. I don't know how else to describe it, Mark.
Yeah, I thought that was a red line for them, and it probably should be a red line for them, to be frank, right? I mean, like, the whole idea of a U.S. military security backstop has been one of the big footballs here. Mm-hmm. Now, again, as for Zelensky, like, wildly, he still has a positive favorability. Not nearly as much as NATO, but it's still 52 to 32. But what's kind of weird is that we asked about the fraud implications, and 78% of people think that it's at least somewhat serious, 49% very serious, that there's been implications of hundreds of millions of dollars of corruption scheme and embezzlement. And then this one was kind of fun too. Ukraine has not had an election in more than 6 years. Is that too long to go without an election? 56 yes, 28 no. And less than half the Democrats say yes. So this is the party of democracy, right? They're less likely than Republicans and independents to say yes. And then do you agree or disagree with this statement? Zelensky is using war not to hold an election. Ukraine hasn't had an election in a long time. They talk about democracy, but it gets to a point where it's not a democracy anymore. And a majority of Americans agree with that, 52 to 36. So it's like, yeah, he probably should have an election. It is weird. We're probably fighting that war just so he can stay in power. And it's not a good look. And so I think this is a situation with NATO, with Ukraine, where it's a problem. The core drivers, America will hate if they see them, but it's not really in the news enough like the way that Israel is. And, you know, there's nothing that will get you in the news faster than Americans being afraid that they might get drawn into a war. So I guess we'll have to see where this posturing goes.
Yeah, I think we've seen it time and time again, and American people have had enough. Mark, before we go, I want to get to this next poll too, because I think this might kind of highlight the economy is kind of how I'm going to spin this one. But 71% of voters say that they are going to stay home for the holidays. Now, is that significantly higher than other years? Because that seems like a big chunk of Americans looking to stay home.
I mean, yeah, it is. And I think anecdotally, we see news articles about them extending Black Friday sales and foot traffic being down. But this is just kind of like an evergreen question we ask. We have a ton of other economic metrics. First off, unemployment is much higher than the BLS says, especially with under 30 voters. We have a 16% approval rating. That's not good. And economically, what we've seen is that people say the economy is not in the stock market. And that's what Donald Trump likes to brag about. And also he talks about affordability as in like lowering grocery prices. cases. But fundamentally, we have a situation where, like, basically only one in four Americans say today's children will have it better off than their parents. Like, the American dream is dead. We've gone into a lot of this. They think they can't buy houses. The housing crisis is a crisis. The economy is unfair to young people. They're really unhappy with big tech. Like, over 80% of Americans think that these companies are just running wild. And so there's all these, like, drivers that show me that, yeah, our economic system is broken in a profound way that Washington, D.C., like, doesn't even get. And so I think you're going to continuously keep seeing these drivers, like, pop up. And the reason that this is a problem is because it looks like Trump and the Republican plan to win the midterms is just to tell everybody that they've done a good job. And I think that that's, I mean, it's better than, like, just being horrible at message. It's like, okay, fine. Remind everybody about buy inflation. Fine. Remind everybody about your pharmaceutical MFN and how it's going to lower pharmaceutical prices. Fine. Make sure everybody remembers that you got gas down a dollar. Fine. But the American dream was stolen by kleptocrats and corporatism and the rest of the world on global welfare. And we see it, like, you know, every state is draining the federal coffers with ridiculous amounts of fraud. And so my concern and question is, a year from now, when we're looking at the election, will those boasts about the accomplishments fall on deaf ears for Republicans? What economic metric could we even point to say that mission's accomplished? We've done a good job. The economy is better. And I would propose that there really aren't any. Like, maybe a really hot labor market where wages are surging, maybe some measures of wealth inequality. And I don't see any way that the needle is going to move fast enough in just a year. And I'll tell you, the big one too is that we have a monthly economic confidence index. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't really changed much over the year. It's moved up and down a little bit. But I broke it out to the under 40 people. And these people had a massive surge in economic confidence, a bump up of 20% when Trump came into office back in January. Well, it's lost all of that gain. It's down 20% since January. So there's this aspect specifically of the economy for younger voters who are the sort of like switch hitters here. Like, this is the political football that everybody's fighting over. And that it's not good. Their numbers are continuously degrading. Now, I think really it's good having Vance out there. I think he talks about the economy correctly, and they don't want to hear mission accomplished. They don't want to hear that the golden age is already here. And he gets that. So I think he'll be a big part of trying to sell. I don't know though. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a scrap next November. And if the Democrats win, the Congress is going to be insane.
It's going to be insane. It's going to be insane. It'll be endless content for the rest of us. But the reality of it is that's the only thing we have to look forward to. The rest of the country will be destroyed. And I don't know. I just don't see that the right is really doing anything to try to keep their majority and to build on it, Mark Mitchell, you do an incredible job all the time over at Rasmussen Reports. Give him a follow on X, YouTube, and also on Instagram as well. Mark, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. Again, folks, Honest Pollster is where you could find him at on X as well. And then you could tag, he's got like the little thing, the little tree where you could go through all the social media stuff. Follow him everywhere else too. He puts out incredible information, and we do love Mark Mitchell. And Merry Christmas, Mark. Gosh, totally slipped my mind. Folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just launched the Ultimate Power. You're looking to enhance your energy levels, focus, blood flow, and endurance. This is the formula for you. The more you buy, the more you save. When you buy three bottles, you get 30% off. The perfect opportunity to stack up on the savings by stacking up your order. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We also have still 60% off Methylene Blue, CMOS gummies, and Shilajit gummies as well. Those are going on for a couple more hours, so head on over to the Alex Jones store for that as well. And on top of it all, we do have 40% off the other supplements over at the shop as well. And just a little friendly reminder, when you subscribe, you get 50% off every month for life. So why not extend that discount and ease your worries so you never run out of any of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com and subscribe today. Again, these offers are ending in just a few hours, so you got to head on over and do that right now before you miss out on the savings. All right, folks, we have more to discuss in just a bit. Dan Lyman coming on the show. A lot to break down in regards to the illegal invaders being deported. He's got a lot to give us. We'll be right back.
I need you to support the broadcast financially, and I just need those of you on the fence that have never gone to theawesomestore.com to go get the Ultra Methylene Blue. I'm only going to sell something that's really good for you and works great. Because, again, a good salesman sells a product that works, and it's good, and that I use. So take the challenge. Go to theawesomestore.com now and get Ultra Methylene Blue. And it's the greatest because it's so good it hits in like 30 minutes. But the real effects happen the days and weeks as it builds up in you. The Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, that's going to take a few weeks to kick in. You get your wife pregnant, she'd have a baby for 9 months, folks. You only got to wait a few weeks with this. The effects of these are incredible. Again, I can do hours on each product, and these are the best. You study Irish sea moss, you study Shilajit, you study bovine colostrum. It's all the rage forever. These are sure things. I don't go get stuff that isn't already a sure thing. It's so easy. 90% of my waking hours is doing nothing but studying and broadcasting and fighting. And I just want you to keep me commissioned in this fight. Where have you seen results like this? And it's not me. I'm not the opposite of prideful. I'm God-fearing. I fear nothing but God. I'm actually fearful of the position I've been put in by God that I'm like, you need to do a better job. It's the opposite. I'm mad at myself. The crew can tell you behind the scenes. I am pissed off at myself. I am angry that I've been given so much power and I'm not executing it correctly. But God loves sudden death over time. God loves keeping you humble. When you buy from us, you're going to get a great product and you're betting on an organization that has the track record of victory. That's why the bad guys hate us. We know what we're doing. We know how to stop them. They want us off air. If I'm going to sell you something because I'm self-funded, it's going to work. You are missing out so bad if you don't get our Ultra DNA Revival new product, our incredible highest quality, the very best type of creatine gummies and powder. Our bovine colostrum, all of it, 60% off right now. It ends next week. Get your orders in by tomorrow. You'll get it anywhere in the country before Christmas. But we need the support. And like I said, I'm out of money. I'm out of stuff to sell. I'm out of whatever. We have about a $400,000 underage going into next month. I mean, literally, to pay the rent and the payroll. I've got my Rolodex out. And I mean, there'll be no strings attached. But I'm starting to call people and folks saying, all right, you know, give me money. Because I ain't giving up. As much as I don't like begging for money, I give it up to the New World Order and rolling over and dying. I hate that even more. But I am literally down to the point now. My parents have lost everything they got. I don't have anything. I don't care. I'm happier than ever. I never had a bunch of stuff. But it doesn't matter when you're up against the wall and you ain't got no more to give. You understand? I'm giving you everything I got. And quite frankly, I'm more alive. I'm stronger. I'm smarter than I've ever been. In fact, I'm high as a kite in this fight. I love this. But the fact is only a fraction of our people are engaged. Oh, the Muslims are engaged. The Jews are engaged. I'm not attacking either group. You know why they're so powerful? They're engaged. They're involved in their group. Well, who are we? Well, we're Americans of every race, color, and creed that just want freedom and our country and our republic. Well, then you better start acting like it.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us. We're going to spend the next couple of minutes talking about the illegal invaders who have infiltrated our country, of course. The massive effort to get rid of them. But we got a little bit of holiday spirit we want to send your way, of course. Right before Christmas, DHS is upping a little bonus for those illegal invaders. They were being paid $1,000 to self-deport. Now, they self-deport before December 31st. They're going to be paid $3,000.
time to send them home. Oh, that's a bad joke. But seriously, folks, DHS is looking to save the American taxpayer a lot of cash, and they're looking to up the amounts. And so if you know any illegals, maybe just let them know. Hey, you get $3,000 if you deport by next week. Maybe take them up on that offer. That's a lot of cash, plus a free air flight as well. Come on, get out of here. You might as well do it now. You might as well do it now. All right, let's turn to Infowars.com because in case you don't make it your everyday go-to website, I don't know why you wouldn't do that. A ton of great reporters over there who are dropping very important stories. So I highly recommend you add it to your everyday routine. Like Dan Lyman are putting up incredible stories. Dan just recently posted a story about the Department of Justice filing charges against four legal aliens from Mexico who are accused of trying to stockpile guns by making false claims on federal firearms transaction forms. I wonder what a bunch of illegal invaders were looking to do with about 200 guns in Oregon. Joining me to discuss his latest report, Dan Lyman himself. He's one of the incredible reporters we have at Infowars.com, and he's going to break down the very latest in regards to this. Dan, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you here. A lot to dive into. We're hearing that these illegals wanted a lot of firearms. What the heck's going on over there?
Indeed. Great to be with you, Brianna. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yep. So this story, we got a lot to cover today. Interesting about the DHS bonus. I think that's a fun one. I personally am opposed to paying these people to leave our country, but I do understand why these programs are being implemented. Yeah. And if the administration's claims about self-deportations are anywhere near true, then they've been wildly successful thus far. And we can only hope they continue in the coming years, because the more illegals that just leave quietly, even if they take $1,000, of our tax money from us, it's probably a much better alternative to more attacks in the streets and very expensive deportation operations and all that. So
yeah,
I like to see what's going on here, even though I'm kind of opposed to the premise of it. But turning our focus here to Oregon, interesting story out of there. The DOJ has filed charges, as you said, against four illegals. They just made their first appearance in federal court last week. And these four men, they're all in their 20s. It didn't say – actually, all four are from Mexico. I was wanted to clarify, make sure we say where these people are from. And so the ATF was conducting audits, reviews of background checks, the basic form that you have to fill out at an FFL when you purchase a firearm anywhere in the country. And so you basically put in basic information and just kind of supposedly it's just to make sure that you don't turn up on a terror database or that you're not a convicted felon or that you're not taking serious drugs or marijuana, for instance. So on this form, they were reviewing the submissions from a particular FFL in Oregon it was in Cave Junction, Oregon. No name on the actual FFL. But what they realized was that these four guys had all used the same FFL to purchase the same firearm over and over again. And so on this form, all these guys were checking or indicating that they had been born in Mexico, but they were checking a box claiming that they were U.S. citizens. And apparently it's a red flag when an individual continuously purchases the same weapon over and over again, and that gets flagged for weapons trafficking. And so they started looking into these guys and found out that they had purchased nearly 175, if not more, weapons across the state of Oregon at various FFLs, mostly the same weapon. It doesn't indicate what that weapon was, and that they were all in the country illegally. And so it looks like nefarious activities in Oregon with these illegals, and so they are facing serious charges, which include alien in possession of a firearm. You cannot possess a firearm in the United States if you're an alien, especially if you're an illegal alien, and making false statements on ATF form 4473. So troubling stuff. We can imagine what they were up to, whether they were arming their homies in Oregon or they were running guns back to Mexico. We don't know, but we're going to keep an eye on this story for sure.
Yeah, and I remember, and I'm trying to look for the update now, and I think we might have one actually. There was an illegal, I think this was in Chicago, an Obama judge decided to say that the illegal was allowed to have a firearm and actually ruled in that way. This was last year. It looks like, though, the appeals court on Monday upheld the firearm conviction of a Guatemalan native who was illegally living in the United States for a decade, even though a majority of the court said that the right for non-citizens to bear arms could still be protected by the Second Amendment. So it was kind of like this open back and forth that they might actually have a right to the Second Amendment. I'm looking at this one now too. This was back in the original ruling that came up from the Obama judge. It was 2024. And that federal judge ruled that, of course, it's an Obama judge, like I said in the beginning, but ruled that the illegal, this is, I think, a separate person, the illegal after coming to our country illegally from Mexico, that he was able to obtain a firearm, even though he was charged with possession of a handgun. So it seems to be a back and forth as these federal courts seem to work their way through it. It might actually make its way to the Supreme Court soon, I hope, to kindly get a grip on this. But it's whether or not the Constitution applies to illegal invaders is kind of the question that's circulating here. Again, it seems to be up for everyone's kind of perspective. Dan, I'll let you respond to that, though.
Well, it's obviously these same judges would be enforcing crackdowns on the Second Amendment for American citizens. Yeah. And so it's very troubling, but not surprising at the same time, given that the purpose of a system is what it does. And that is to arm illegal aliens who continue to harm American citizens, whether with weapons or with vehicles or with their bare hands. So it's just insane to think that an illegal alien would have any rights under the Constitution whatsoever.
Yeah, well, that's a thing. That's a thing. And Democrats want to pretend like it is, it covers illegal aliens. And, I truly believe it doesn't. But again, they say that it's quite vague and we'll see it all play out. We'll see it all. We need it now though, because at least we have a conservative majority. Some say conservative majority. So we'll see how that all works out over the Supreme Court. But Dan, I want to kind of switch up gears a little bit because you have a bunch of other stories that I think are really, really important. This one, I think is very important that we discuss. A man who reportedly confessed to brutally murdering a cab driver in New York, then tossing his body into a reservoir, is apparently an illegal alien with prior arrest at the sanctuary state, obviously in New York. What's the latest on this one? This is a very interesting story that you guys have up right now on Infowars.com.
Yeah, it's amazing how often when you start scratching the surface on these stories, they just get weirder and more convoluted and really twisted. And so in this particular story, and that image that we just shared, the featured image on the article is him smiling broadly, grinning during his apprehension in the state of New York. So this guy was either is totally deranged or was very proud of himself for what he did, or is both. I'm guessing both. But anyways, so the story, the victim, ironically and terribly, is actually a legal immigrant from Ecuador. And he was a resident of Danbury, Connecticut, but he drove a livery car, a minivan at the moment of the crime, in the state of New York, upstate New York, just north of the city. And so this, illegal alien from Guatemala, if I remember correctly, he was known to the local taxi drivers because he frequently would catch a cab at the same train station in the Brewster area, I believe it was. And so this guy was well known, and he had actually taken several rides in the past with this Ecuadorian cabbie named Aurelio Zunio Orbez, and the suspect name is Santos Vasquez Ramirez. And so anyways, in a prior ride, I assume sometime in the fall, this illegal alien from Guatemala got into a fare dispute with the cab driver and apparently held a grudge about the whole thing, so that the next time they encountered each other, the suspect went ahead and apparently, and he confessed to this, he strangled the cab driver, drove his cab to a nearby reservoir, dumped the body into the water, and then drove himself to another train station, abandoned the vehicle, and hopped in to a train to flee the scene. And tragically and horrifically, a fisherman discovered the body of this cab driver floating in the water a few days later, and they were able to identify and launched a manhunt and eventually tracked down this suspect and took him into custody. And he is being charged with second-degree murder and robbery. And it turns out that this illegal alien entered the United States during the Obama years. He was issued a final order of removal during the first Trump administration, never left the country. He has three prior arrests in the state of New York, at least two of them for DUI and one for criminal mischief, and yet was, of course, allowed to remain in the state, remain in the country, continue committing crimes, and, of course, went on to apparently commit a totally heinous crime against this man who is survived by his four children and their mother. Really a tragedy.
It's devastating. It's devastating. And the smirk on his face, you want to smack it off his face, of course, because he knows that he's going to be in a system that's very favorable towards him. The empathy is going in the wrong direction in the state of New York. It always seems to go in the direction of actual criminals rather than the actual victims of these crimes. And yet again, here we are. I think it's an interesting twist too, the fact that this is a legal immigrant, who he killed as well. So, or allegedly, I should say. So, just floating that out there. Dan, I want to get your take because there's a lot of, and I'm going to let you run through all these stories because there's a lot of stories in regards to the truckers who have been given illegal aliens, who've been given these CDLs. We got a lot of updates coming your way, specifically too, even in a bus crash in Tennessee, which was granted, the CDL license in the sanctuary state of New York again. So walk us through the latest. There's a couple of updates that you have for us on several different stories in regards to CDLs.
Yeah, it's amazing. We could probably spin out our own website just for crashes involving illegals and possibly even just for crashes involving illegal alien truck drivers. Mm-hmm. I believe Laura Ingram just said the other night that she's terrified to be out on the roads now at this point. And I don't blame her because we're seeing day in and day out horrific crimes that often end up with an American citizen dead or multiple citizens. A lot of times they're children. But in this story, just another example of a sanctuary state granting a CDL to an illegal alien. This illegal alien is from China, and he entered across the southern border in 2023, was dumped into the country by the Biden regime, granted work authorization, later obtained a commercial driver's license in the state of New York and was living apparently in Brooklyn at the time of this accident. He was driving a tour bus outside of Nashville, and there was some stopped traffic on I-40, very busy highway, as you can imagine. And apparently, according to investigators, this driver of this bus, which thankfully was empty at the time, was distracted by a video on his phone, made no attempt to stop, and rear-ended a big rig, which then slammed into a big rig in front of it. So you can imagine just how violent this accident must have been, and pushed the other big rig, the second one, into oncoming traffic. Another car ended up rear-ending the tour bus. So it was a huge pileup. And tragically, an American citizen, Kerry Smith, a 31-year-old trucker from Tennessee, was killed in this accident. So as we see here, another example of Americans losing their lives to illegal alien drivers behind the wheels of absolutely monstrous machines. And so, he was dumped into the country a couple of years ago. And the state of New York, the last I saw, they're actually saying, well, hey, this isn't on us. He was provided work authorization by the feds. So it's on the feds. So they just, you know, play ping pong with who's to blame. But of course, it was a sanctuary, federal government that allowed him in, and a sanctuary state that granted him this license. And now, an American citizen is dead. Another horrible tragedy.
Yeah. And it just, you know, I was going to say something, but it was bad. It just seems to be more like it's a pileup of stories, sadly. And then, like, you switch over to here and you see another one. I mean, we all recall that video in Washington State. Specifically, there's an update on this one, that we just recently got to us. Washington State, sanctuary state again, doesn't work with ICE. But again, here we are, after being accused, I have to say, of, killing someone in a horrific crash. This Indian who does not belong in our country, was operating another semi, of course, and he plowed his vehicle, resulting in the death of, obviously, another, I believe there were Americans. But long story short, it looks like he was just recently released. What's the latest on this front? Because this is a big one. This caught national headlines.
Another, it's just so sad. Young father from Washington State, apparently, was driving. He was between two big rigs on the highway in King County, which is this, where Seattle is located. And the big rig in front of him stopped. He stopped in his Mazda, and the driver behind him, reportedly an illegal alien who also was dumped into the country, I believe in 2023 from India. Yep, 2023 from India. He made little attempt to stop, was going far too fast apparently, and he ended up sandwiching this guy's car into the big rig in front of him, and also his tractor mounted onto the top of this man's vehicle from behind and totally crushed him and killed him. He's survived by his two young sons, ages 1 and 4, and his wife. And this is another driver who came in through the southern border in 2023, was unleashed into the country, into California, if I'm not mistaken. There are so many of these stories that, like, the details are so similar.
Yeah.
And they all point back to, you know, the Biden administration, or the Obama administration. And then you just have to kind of remember, where did they enter, and what year was it? And many of them entered in 2023. We saw What was interesting during that period, of course, there were multiple points along the border that got hit really hard, and one of them was Lukeville, Arizona, and then, of course, the southern border of California near Hakumba, and a lot of the people that were coming in there were Asians. And so what we've seen here is the Chinese suspect, we've seen the Indian suspect, both of them entered in that general area into the United States. And so this driver, another Singh, many of these Indian truck drivers that are being arrested for various violations or just outright terrible crimes, are named last name Singh. Kamalpreet Singh was arrested on suspicion of vehicular homicide and ordered held on $100,000 bail. Of course, ICE lodged a detainer, but Washington is a sanctuary state and King County is the stronghold of that sanctuary state. And according to the latest updates, he's actually already been released, and they're not even sure if they're going to press charges. There were charges originally filed against him. They withdrew those charges. They're considering other charges. But in the meantime, this guy's back on the loose. And what I found very troubling, a little detail in this story, was that, and I think this is probably playing out with many of these foreign truck drivers who obviously aren't playing by the rules, this guy actually tampered with his logbook, according to investigators, and indicated that he was driving with a co-driver, but he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to do that, you can essentially drive 24 hours a day if you want to. And there are very strict rules about how much sleep and rest a truck driver has to get before they can get back on the road in between their driving shifts. And if you supposedly have a driver with you, then conceivably you could run the truck as long as you want. So we don't even know how tired this guy was, if he was on any drugs possibly, because a lot of these guys will take drugs to stay awake and drive longer. So, I mean, it's just this cascading effect of the Biden administration opening the borders, these guys getting work authorization and then getting CDLs and getting on the roads and killing Americans.
Yeah, and you have no idea who these people are. You know, the report says that he's 25 years old. A lot of these illegals are lying about their age when they come into this country, or most because they come from countries that don't even really document any of this. Some of them don't even know when their birth date actually is. And so I look at a lot of these reports, and like you mentioned, the opening from all of this, his last name, Singh, I have a feeling they're not giving us their actual information. So the fact that we're releasing these people makes it very, very hard for us to find them again. If we do want to press federal charges on him, it's going to be hard to find this guy. And so that's just the harsh reality behind all of this. And it's really, really concerning. But again, not surprising. I mean, there's no accountability to the Democrats that have advocated for this. And they have created havoc all across this country, but most importantly, devastation with the loss of so many incredible Americans who have lost their lives from their recklessness. And there's no accountability at the individual level here. So that's the reason why they don't fear any of this. And they have no problem creating release on $100,000 bond. And you can literally take someone's life, and they just obviously think that $100,000 bond is okay to have them pose. It's really just infuriating, Dan. And it's just, I mean, I can't take any more of this. It's just so enraging that we allow these illegal invaders to come into our country, commit crimes against Americans. And then at the accountability level, the justice levels, they always say there is no actual justice, and they all sit there and comply again. He's innocent until proven guilty, but gosh, I mean, it's quite obvious there's a lot wrong here, and you don't release someone like this because he is a threat to public safety. And so it's just gut-wrenching to hear these updates. But speaking of gut-wrenching, you have an article also up right now on Infowars.com, and I'll let you tell the details, but apparently primate meat was found at a Chicago airport. What the heck is this, Dan?
A different kind of gut-wrenching, of course. And this is not by any means an abnormal story. This happens all the time at our airports. But the photos of this one are just so stark. The photos are so intense, even though it's just an animal, that Twitter actually censored CBP's post of these photos because they're just really disturbing. And then when we reposted them over at Border Hawk on Twitter, our post was also censored because it's just really hard to look at. But yeah. In many other countries, a desiccated, dried up primate or other types of rodents or reptiles are considered delicacies. And so bushmeat is banned to bring into the United States. You can't even bring in any sort of raw meat, of course, uncooked meats. And so this person, this traveler, was arriving from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and they're in their luggage. The agricultural inspectors found a variety. It was over 30 pounds worth of illicit foods and products that they were bringing in. But of course, the one that really caught everyone's eye was these dried up primate. I don't know exactly what, you know, what subspecies or what it was, but looks pretty nasty, and it probably was going to be consumed. Although in some cases, these animals are actually brought in for religious rituals, satanic rituals. So, and as we pointed out in that article, this happens all the time. It also happens a lot in Detroit, where they have quite an interesting population in the area that might use that airport. But there was an instance in the summer, back-to-back days, where they seized really disturbing things coming in the luggage from travelers coming from Africa as well. One traveler yielded their seizure yielded 11 pounds of rodent meat. They were coming in from Togo. And then another traveler had 52 pounds of primate meat. So that one that was pictured there was approximately 4 pounds, apparently. So imagine about 12 of those coming in or so. Nasty, nasty stuff. But this is what happens when you allow tourists to come from the third world. I think that this travel ban definitely doesn't, it hasn't been spread wide enough, but these people shouldn't even be allowed to visit our country, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'll back that too. They should not be allowed to visit. I mean, this is absolutely disgusting. The fact that we allow people who eat butch meat is something that we really need to work on here. This is the reason why. Okay, no, actually it's not. I was going to lie. I was going to spread a deep state lie that they're the ones who spread these diseases around in our country. Some of these, you know, remember when they were talking about COVID originally? Remember when they said it started at a market where somebody consumed bat? I mean, the reality of it is they eat garbage food and we let them into our country. I don't think they belong here in the first place. But again, they're not trying to assimilate or enjoy our customs. In fact, they're bringing their garbage to our country. And that could potentially bring and unleash a bunch of diseases. And I mean, this is just disgusting. Imagine thinking that this is something that's so good that you want to bring it to the United States to eat it like the rest of us do. What is it, like beef sticks and stuff like that? We're going on a long flight. I bring a protein bar. That's what they think with this bushmeat. Dan, I don't want them here. And I probably up the amount to $5,000 if they'd all self-deport by December 31st. But of course, DHS is being a little bit more fiscal responsible when it comes to all of that. And they're only doing about, what, $3,000? So whatever. I guess it is what it is. But Dan Lyman, you're doing incredible work over at Infowars.com. So thank you for your endless coverage. We appreciate it, my friend. And Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us.
Merry Christmas to you as well. And you know, the leftists always tell us that open borders means amazing food. And I think we're seeing that that's not necessarily the case. But Merry Christmas to the audience. Thank you all for watching. And we just love all your support for InfoWars. We're so, so grateful. Thank you.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Dan Lyman. Give him a follow. Dan Lyman, the real Dan Lyman. Just real Dan Lyman. I keep adding the word the in front of things. There's no the there. Just real Dan Lyman. Over on X. Give him a follow right now. He does incredible work for both Infowars.com and BorderHawk as well. All right, folks, we got a lot more we're diving into in the third hour of the show. Time is flying by. I don't know for you guys, but for me, it's flying by. I've got plenty of more stories to kick off in just a bit, so you're going to want to stay here and not move. We'll also be taking your calls as well in the second portion of the third hour. So if you want to join in, maybe weigh in on the Epstein document dump as well. Give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I talk so fast, I trip over my own words. So 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to call if you want to join the show in just a bit. We got more topics to dive into in just a moment, though. Obviously, Kash Patel, the FBI director, pushing for more biometrics. Grabbing, obviously. He's improving those who are foreigners, the biometrics that we capture for them. I'll bring you the latest on that front. Plus, President Trump weighing in on the governor's race in the state of New York. He just picked his nominee for the Republicans side of things. I'll bring you the latest in the drama behind all of that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, head on over to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now. Ultimate Power just launched over at the shop. Make sure you grab yourself some. The more you buy, the more you save over at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported and love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days. The rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the Ultramethylene Blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish Sea Moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Make the decision now get our ultramethylene blue, get our Shilajit, get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship, but I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful Beacon of Truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at InfoWarsStore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key, you're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
Jumping on with us. Getting ready to start up the third hour of the program. Dive into some stories and taking your calls in the third hour. So if you'd like to give us your perspective on a story we've covered thus far, give us a call. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. And it's the holidays, so be nice. Be cheerful. And by the holidays, I mean Christmas. We could say that now because President Trump's our president. I used to love when people used to say that. We could say Merry Christmas now because Trump is our president. Yeah, I was just talking to someone too. The AI-generated program that helps people respond back to emails. My friends just texted me and said, oh my gosh, she told me to say happy holidays to you. She knows if she would have sent me a happy holidays email, it wouldn't have gone well for her. Till she didn't send it. She didn't send it. But Merry Christmas, obviously, is what we say over here on InfoWars. So buckle up. We've got another hour, of course, to dive into in just a little bit. 877-789-2539. It's the number you're going to call if you want to join the show. Want to hear from you. But again, be nice. It's the holiday season, man. Holiday season. We're also going to be diving into some stories to catch you up on. Let's talk about this one. Let me kick it off with this. I've been teasing this story. I want to talk about specifically, New York. As many of you guys know, I'm a New Yorker, recovering New Yorker. I am someone who fled to the South before the big mass migration from New York to Florida. I beat everyone. I left in 2019, fled to Florida, stayed there for a couple of years, then migrated over to Texas because it was just getting too many New Yorkers in Florida. But New York is interesting because they've obviously lost a massive amount of Republican voters because nobody wants to live under Democratic leadership. But right now we have a big race coming up in New York, specifically the governor's race is what I'm alluding to here. And Kathy Hochul, of course, the New York governor, is saying she's going to run again, whatever. But on the Republican side of things, Bruce Blakeman, who is somebody who is a public figure, obviously in Nassau County. I've had him on my podcast before. I like the guy. I like the guy a lot. He is good for the area in regards to how he balances public policies, given the fact that it is a blue state. Now, again, Long Island's not so blue. They're more moderate Republicans. Upstate New York, more Republican-esque. But the New York City liberal hacks are just taking down the entire state. So Bruce Blakeman is running. And Elise Stefanik announced that she was originally running. But since last week, she has pulled back that, no longer running in New York for the governor's race. And she also says, I'm not going to even run for re-election in Congress. I'm out. Well, President Trump immediately, just a couple of hours after she announced that, went and backed Bruce Blakeman. He announced his endorsement of Bruce on Truth Social, the Nassau County executive. Now, Bruce is loved by many in Long Island, and so this was good news to them. He has done a great job at enforcing and working with ICE. Again, this is New York State, so you tread lightly here. But everyone's wondering, why did Elise Stefanik back out? Well, she backed out, according to my sources, because, well, President Trump refused to endorse her. Behind the scenes, she has caused an absolute mess since being nominated to the UN. And so, according to my sources, she has continuously pulled dirty political moves, which have caused a lot of friction within the Republicans' party, specifically those in the House right now. Speaker Mike Johnson, not very happy with her.
But again, when she was nominated to the UN, she refused to leave her Republican leadership office. And so she's been apparently occupying that. I don't know if that's still active. I haven't followed up on that in quite some time. It's been a couple, like 2 months that I followed up on that part. But she's caused a lot of problems for people. There was also allegations that she was misleading the White House on who might replace her in Congress. There were several people running for that seat. And so she was trying to pick her favorite out of all of them. It's very questionable, those circumstances. Several reports have come out about that. And a lot of people weren't happy with Stefanik. So President Trump putting his foot down and saying, I'm not going to endorse you. You've caused too much of a mess. And allowed her to bow out gracefully. And then hours later, throwing his support behind Bruce Blakeman. Now, no word if Stefanik plans on ever getting back into the political arena. As of right there now, though, no Congress and no governorship, of course. So we'll keep our eye on that. All right, more to come and just a bit more stories to dive into. And we're taking your calls, of course. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We just launched Ultimate Power. More you buy, more you save over at thealexjonesstore.com. Take a look.
Challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. The American Journal Works Side. You're all jumping on with us in the third hour of the show. For those of you just jumping on right now, I know we're catching up on the radio side of things. We're taking your calls in just a bit. So if you'd like to join the show, maybe weigh in on a news story, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment. I want to get to this because this actually just happened moments ago over on Newsmax. Randy Fine, Congressman Randy Fine, as many of you guys like him, some of you like him, some of you don't really like him. He just gave a little bit of information in regards to Ilhan Omar. Apparently he's working on not only just getting her expelled from Congress, but he's also apparently working on getting her expelled from the country. Take a listen.
Well, I agree with the president 100%. Ilhan Omar is a walking example of everything that is wrong with our legal immigration policy. We imported tens of thousands of people who hate America, add no value to it, rob and steal from us, and we're supposed to be okay with it? I don't think Ilhan Omar should be expelled from Congress. I think she should be expelled from the United States, and that's something that I'm working on. But what prompted me to take this position is she decided to send around fundraising emails saying I should be expelled from Congress. Well, if that's her view, she should go for it. And so what I've said is if I'm going to try to expel her, it won't be in a fundraising email. She'll deal with it on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives.
That's getting spicy. Getting very spicy over in Congress. I don't know how I feel about any of this at this point, besides the fact that I don't really like Ilhan Omar. That's me putting it nicely and trying to be very, very soft on the topic. I actually do believe that she should be removed from Congress. I think it's long overdue, removed from this country. She's openly admitted to working for the Somalian government, obviously saying that she is here to represent Somalia, not Americans. That's all you really needed to get her out. Now, again, we haven't been able to verify whether or not she's an actual American citizen. We do have proof that she did alter her birth year. We presented it to you last week, I believe it was. And again, no update from U.S. Immigration Services, even though I keep reaching out for my little Ilhan Omar update. Unfortunately, nobody wants to talk about this. But, you know, when you import people that hate your country, you get people like Ilhan Omar. You get people like Ilhan Omar. Randy Fine. We will try to get Randy Fine on the show. I know that might be a topic that a lot of people don't want to hear about, but we can ask him about AIPAC. Why not? Why not? I'll reach out to the congressman from Florida and see if he wants to have a little discussion about this, plus AIPAC, of course. All right, let's keep diving into a bunch of other stories. Some of you guys know I kind of earned the title as the woman who just keeps reporting on biometrics. You know, people see me, and apparently my biggest claim to fame, not isn't like reporting on the corrupt government or suing the corrupt government, or like just, you know, finding Americans on terror watch lists and reporting it directly to them like Tulsi Gabbard. But apparently I'm the biometrics girl these days. And so there was an update regarding biometrics being taken at the airport that I wanted to make sure you all saw. Now, as many of you guys know, I expose the government for at the airport. They say, oh, just take your photo here and we'll delete it right after TSA does that to you. And it says it on the sign. But then when I did some document diving and I found myself evidence that the government deletes it after they send it to DHS, I reached out to DHS for comment and TSA, and they did admit, yeah, we sent it over to DHS, but it's a limited amount, a limited amount. Obviously, this all started at the roots of this started in the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act requires foreigners to submit their biometrics when entering and leaving our country. Foreigners. But since then, we've expanded that now to American citizens, because that's how these things work. They never are exactly what they try to make it out to be. And in fact, I've proven that several times over the last few years of my exclusive reporting on all things related to the government grabbing your biometrics and storing it in a database. But the FBI director, Kash Patel, put out a tweet that's setting off all the red flags right now. Take a look at this. All right. So he said one of his big things was to improve biometrics. The FBI undertook a project earlier this year to vastly expand our overseas biometrics program, helping stop bad actors before they board a plane or a vessel to the United States. Now, he claims they are improving that, and they've done just that. We work with partners across the federal government at DHS and CBP and more, as well as our overseas counterparts, to implement improvements at every level. These are the types of improvements and investments under this administration that will make America's border and national security stronger than ever before. Now, here's the interesting fun fact to all of this. Again, it never stops here. It never is just foreigners only. What do they mean by this? Why not give us details rather than all of these? We're doing this for your safety. They did that during the Patriot Act, when they wanted to push the Patriot Act onto Americans. We saw that unravel. We saw what's happened since all of that. Again, they always say foreigners, but it never stops there. It always goes after Americans. In fact, again, I'll tell you this story. You know, I was in Budapest a couple of months ago when I came back into the United States, and I had to go through customs. They don't even ask you for your passport. Instead, they ask to scan your face. When they scan your face, they know what country you're coming from. How do I know this? Well, when I said, oh, no, this is for foreigners only. I'm American citizen. Here's my passport. The guy grumpy, you know, government employees, not obviously always the nicest people, nor do they get very excited about having to work a little bit harder. But this government employee, not happy with me, had to ask me, what country was I coming from? Was it for business? Did I bring any food, agriculture back with me? And then, of course, I got flagged for a random bag check, which I was told was random by the miserable CBP employee. But, folks, why am I saying this? Well, because I was asked those questions about what country did I come from, because apparently they didn't know. But everyone else who got their face scanned, they knew what country they were coming from. They didn't even ask them the question. They didn't even ask. There was no question. Scan your face, keep it moving. So what? Why do I bring this up? Well, is it that we already are on this? They deny it. There's shared database where all countries are sharing your biometrics with one another. So when you come back into the United States, you just quickly scan your face as an American citizen. They can tell what country you came from, because we're all sharing information on one global level. I know it sounds crazy. Not to you guys, of course, but everyone else hasn't been following what's been going on these last few years. You see, when Kash Patel promotes improving the biometrics grab, which is a privacy grab, of course, it's not just for foreigners. They tell you it's for foreigners, so it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside, like, wow, the government's doing its job. It's trying to secure us. Time and time again, that's never the case. And so I strongly do believe, again, they'll cover it up and tell us, no, that's not the case. But the government is sharing our biometrics with other countries. Because we see time and time again, Chrissy Noem in foreign countries signing all these agreements about biometrics. Here's Kash Patel bragging about it. The guy who wrote the book about government gangsters. And he understands what the globalists are doing and how they're trying to get us all in this digital platform that's shared between all countries. This effort for a one world order is being pushed under this administration. And they know that. They know that. Because these are the same people who used to get up on stages. I know, I heard Kash Patel speak at the Christian conservative events I'd attend. And he'd always pretend to be going after all these people trying to expose deep state. Well, it looks like the swamp has eaten one of our own. Pushing the biometric system, which is grabbing foreigners, how they'll tell us for now, their biometric information. And again, they always say, oh, it's foreigners. It's not just the foreigners, folks. I saw it first with my own eyes. My own eyes. They could sit there and lie to you all they want, but the reality of it is we know what's going on right now. We know what's going on. And shame on the director from pushing this out. Maybe he didn't. Maybe someone's from his comms team. But I don't feel any safer with our biometrics being taken. I don't. In fact, let me just remind you, that Brown University shooting, that suspect was a foreigner, not a U.S. citizen. So to come into our country, he needed to have his biometrics taken because of the Patriot Act. It's in the Patriot Act. So if Brown University had any type of image of him, they could have ran it through the federal database or could have found him out a little bit sooner. Maybe the MIT professor would have been saved. But because the biometric grab isn't keeping us any safer, they weren't able to utilize it. They weren't. Of course, again, Brown University not really being transparent on the fact that they have cameras on campus, but won't tell us what exactly happened to those cameras. Because again, if they were able to capture this guy's face or partial, they possibly could have ID'd him using the federal database. That's Kash Patel says it's new and improved. That is something to ponder in your minds, of course. These things that they brag about now, I mean, he's so proud about this. They're not really helping you and I. It's more so just the illusion that it makes you safer. But does it really? But does it really? All right, let's turn to another story. I want to bring you an update about Brett Hankinson. As many of you guys know, I've covered his story extensively. He was one of the officers involved in the Breonna Taylor shooting. Brett Hankinson was there that day and responded after seeing one of his colleagues get shot in the leg by Breonna Taylor's boyfriend by opening fire on that apartment. Now, again, they had everything that they needed to conduct that raid. Although it was a no-knock warrant, let me just re-echo this. They still knocked. Neighbors heard them announcing, the police announcing their presence outside their door. But still, Taylor's boyfriend, who apparently made a call between all of this, according to that officer that was shot in the leg, Sergeant John Mattingly, called someone and did know that the police were outside of his home and instead opened fire. He claims a different set of details on that front, though. Now, Taylor was fatally shot, and she did die that day. According to the officer that was there that day, he used her almost like a shield as he ducked and ran into the other room for cover. So this officer you see on your screen, Brett Hankinson, he's no longer with the department. That's because the DOJ under the Biden regime launched a full-on attack on Hankinson. Now, again, Hankinson did not fatally shoot Taylor, but because he returned fire in a dark room, again, it was early morning hours, they were not happy with Hankinson for doing that, even though he literally saw one of his colleagues get shot and thought in that moment that he was under attack. Well, Hankinson was charged and convicted of under a civil rights law, saying that Taylor's rights were violated under the Biden regime. He was sentenced to, I believe, almost 3 years in prison for that. Now, it's interesting because the DOJ, and before I get to the update, the DOJ argued under the Trump administration that he shouldn't serve any time in prison because he already lost his job because of it. And that was enough. The judge is completely surpassing the DOJ's request and sentencing him to prison. Now, he was sent off to prison while awaiting his appeal. Now, according to my sources, he was actually under solitary confinement because he was actively receiving death threats while there. Well, thank God our prayers were answered because he has since been released from prison. No thanks to the DOJ. He has since been released pending his appeal. Now, Hankinson is obviously someone who did nothing wrong that day besides the fact of reacting to seeing one of his colleagues getting shot in the leg and wanting to make sure that they weren't being ambushed. But the Biden DOJ, which sides with criminals, went after this poor man. And he has spent, under this DOJ, weeks in solitary confinement. Now, again, the reason why I say this DOJ is the Bureau of Prisons falls right under the DOJ. So they are in control. Pam Bondi's in control. I made several efforts to reach out to these folks and ask them for help because solitary confinement is abuse. When you're locked down to, which is probably like the size of your bathroom, when you're locked down to a room that size with nothing around you, no human interaction for 23 to 24 hours a day, it is in fact abuse. Now the DOJ claims that, oh, it's for their safety. That's why we do it. It's not for their safety. It's not for their safety. There were other things that they could have done with this man to make sure and secure his safety, but they chose not to. And again, I made several attempts to reach out to the DOJ on this front. Although they don't want you talking bad about them, Mr. Todd Blanche, they still won't go out there and help fellow Americans. Police officers, by the way. The vast amount of police officers that elected this president to the White House, they don't have their back. They don't. So that's at least some good news that a judge did rule that he can be released while waiting his appeal. And of course, he's trying his very best to fight this off. But gosh, this is so insane that it's gotten to this level. And again, the DOJ allowing prisons to misuse solitary confinement because it is abuse. Whether they want to say it or not, it is abuse. All right, let's turn things to Fulton County. Fulton County is getting interesting because, as you guys know, we talked about on this show last week specifically, the DOJ is going after Fulton County. They have demanded records that are supposed to be preserved. It might be, though, that the Fulton County executives completely tossed a lot of the key information about the 2020 election out because, well, there were alleged election fraud crimes that may have been committed in Fulton County. Of course, we have to say that. So, you know, if you don't, you'll get sued. Scumbags in Fulton County continue to just amaze the rest of us, though, of course. According to a report out in the Federalist, it appears that they might have possibly gotten rid of a lot of key evidence. Early this month, Fulton County admitted that approximately 315,000 early votes from the 2020 election were illegally certified. Again, folks, illegally certified. But then they somehow, some way were included in the final results of the 2020 election. No, you don't say. You don't say. 315,000 votes, potentially. Now, of course, that is a massive amount of number. I mean, it's just a massive number. And, I mean, if you just go over the 2020 election results, I'm sure that would have changed things. Great patriots like Rudy Giuliani, who did his very best to try to defend his client, which was President Donald Trump, were sued into bankruptcy over this. Just pointing out and trying to represent his client to the best of his ability. Again, they went after him and targeted him. But there's a lot of allegations floating around Fulton County. And time again, we continue to ask these basic questions and nobody wants to answer them. You know, they had Fannie Willis last week in front of one of the Senate committees under oath. And although I think the questions that were asked upon her were pretty weak, it really is not surprising. It's really not surprising. I'm trying to pull up the Fulton County result of that election. I can't find them right now. But I'm pretty sure it was very, because I know in the state of Georgia, it was a very narrow victory for Joe Biden. We all know what came after that when President Trump was just simply trying to call it out. He was simply trying to ask Georgia officials to go do some digging. I saw something pop up too earlier today. Harmy Dillon saying she's going after in lawsuits both blue and red states for failure to clean up their voter rolls. Now, this is ahead of the 2026 midterm election. With the congressional elections obviously coming up, the DOJ said that it is trying to ensure that only eligible voters are on the state's voter rolls. Now, while some voluntarily comply with the DOJ's request, for voting registration data or to clean the voter rolls themselves. Others are refusing to do just that, citing privacy concerns. Now, again, it's great that Harmeet Dillon is taking on this fight. What the heck are Republicans doing? You know, President Trump made it very, very clear that this is a top priority for him. And unfortunately, you know, it doesn't seem like they're doing anything to back that. And what we saw in 2020 is going to happen again and again and again because, well, no one's doing anything. No one's doing anything. Republicans, oh, vote for us again, head of midterms. And then for some reason, they don't show you anything. There's no actual results. Zero results. It's just so infuriating to sit back and watch. You know, they pretend like they actually care about election fraud and election integrity. But they don't have the guts to actually tell you guys that, yes, elections are being stolen. Elections are being stolen in this country. What's the motive to get Americans out to vote on Election Day for midterms? What's the motive? Right now, we have a Congress that's not doing anything. And I think that's what they think the motive is, right? Oh, keep voting for us. Keep giving us the majority and we will pass things that you need us to pass. But right now, given the timetable they've been given, they've done absolutely nothing. And it's a very thin margin, of course. And I've been saying it from day one. Slowly, we lost that margin because it looks like there was a lot of Republicans being bought up by the private sector. I wonder why that is. You see, a lot of the times when Republicans step away from their congressional seats and they quickly get swept up into the private sector, it's because they're being outbidded. It's a quick payday to get them out of these seats and to lose the majority. And again, we have a Republican speaker who doesn't even really care to call it out. Why not go out there and say, why are all of these people refusing to wait it out to the end of their terms? These congressional members, these Republicans. But we have a bunch of cowards right now leading this country, and it's very, very sad to see. Again, these issues won't be fixed until we actually take them seriously. Speaking of that, there was actually kind of a good story, too. You know, RFK Jr., I love following all the incredible work he's doing. In clip 8, you're going to listen to him talk about his fight to end animal testing over at HHS. Take a listen.
There are 100,000 monkeys, primates, non-human primates, that are in primate labs around the country for research purposes. There's another 20,000 that are imported every year, and we're very concerned about that. We're trying to put an end to that completely. And the badge of a really humane nation is the way that it takes care of its animals. One of the things that we're doing is that we're re-educating researchers so that they know that there is these other forms of research that are much more predictive of human health outcomes. We're also, in September, we changed the rules at NIH to make it so that researchers can use part of their NIH funding to retire their primates to sanctuaries after the experimentation is done. Until now, there was no option like that, no alternative except the researcher euthanized that animal after they were through. Now we're developing sanctuaries across the country.
Absolute barbarians. In fact, you have to even push for this. It's been incredible work that's been led by obviously RFK Jr., but also with the backing of the great folks. Laura Loomer has made this a top priority for her. And that's something that's really great that we love dearly. She's also teamed up with White Coat Waste as well, who's been pushing this forward. So these, efforts to end animal testing and to stop our government from just brutally killing these animals, for no reason at all, is something that we could thank in regards to RFK Jr. as well as Laura Loomer and White Coat Waste as well. All right, we're going to dive into a lot more in just a little bit, taking your calls as well, 877-789-2539. Give us a call if you want to sound off on a topic that we've discussed thus far. Also, in the meantime, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the final days of Christmas sale. That means 60% off some of your favorite supplements. That includes Methylene Blue, Sea Moss Gummies, Shilajit Gummies as well, over at thealexjonesstore.com. In addition to that, we also have the other supplements with 40% off those as well. But when you become a subscriber, you get 50% off every month for life. So why not extend those savings by becoming a subscriber? Again, this will end in just a few hours. So you have to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you get in on these incredible savings. Also, last week I announced it. Ultimate Power, we launched that last week as well. So head on over to the shop and try this one out. The more you buy, the more you save. 30% off when you buy 3 bottles, of course. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
I need you to support the broadcast financially, and I just need those of you on the fence that have never gone to thealexjonesstore.com to go get the ultramethylene blue. I'm only going to sell something that's really good for you and works great. Because, again, a good salesman sells a product that works, that's good, and that I use. So take the challenge. Go to theauctionstore.com now and get ultramethylene blue. And it's the greatest because it's so good it hits in like 30 minutes. But the real effects happen the days and weeks as it builds up in you. The Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, that's going to take a few weeks to kick in. You get your wife pregnant, she'd have a baby for 9 months, folks. You only got to wait a few weeks with this. The effects of these are incredible. Again, I can do hours on each product. And these are the best. You study Irish sea moss. You study Shilajit. You study bovine colostrum. It's all the rage forever. These are sure things. I don't go get stuff. It's already a sure thing. It's so easy. 90% of my waking hours is doing nothing but studying and broadcasting and fighting. And I just want you to keep me commissioned in this fight. Where have you seen results like this? And it's not me. I'm not the opposite of prideful. I'm God-fearing. I fear nothing but God. I'm actually fearful of the position I've been put in by God that I'm like, you need to do a better job. It's the opposite. I'm mad at myself. The crew can tell you behind the scenes. I am pissed off at myself. I am angry that I've been given so much power and I'm not executing it correctly. But God loves sudden death over time. God loves keeping you humble. When you buy from us, you're going to get a great product and you're betting on an organization that has the track record of victory. That's why the bad guys hate us. We know what we're doing. We know how to stop them. They want us off air. If I'm going to sell you something because I'm self-funded, it's going to work. You are missing out so bad if you don't get our Ultra DNA Revival new product, our incredible highest quality, the very best type of creatine gummies and powder, our bovine colostrum, all of it. 60% off right now. It ends next week. Get your orders in by tomorrow. You'll get it anywhere in the country before Christmas. But we need the support. And like I said, I'm out of money. I'm out of stuff to sell. I'm out of whatever. We have about a $400,000 underage going into next month. I mean, literally, to pay the rent and the payroll. I've got my Rolodex out. And I mean, there'll be no strings attached. But I'm starting to call people and folks saying, all right, you know, give me money. Because I ain't giving up. As much as I don't like begging for money, I give it up to the New World Order and rolling over and dying. I hate that even more. But I am literally down to the point now. My parents have lost everything they got. I don't have anything. I don't care. I'm happier than ever. I never had a bunch of stuff. But it doesn't matter when you're up against the wall and you ain't got no more to give. You understand? I'm giving you everything I got. And quite frankly, I'm more alive. I'm stronger. I'm smarter than I've ever been. In fact, I'm high as a kite in this fight. I love this. But the fact is only a fraction of our people are engaged. Oh, the Muslims are engaged. The Jews are engaged. I'm not attacking either group. You know why they're so powerful? They're engaged. They're involved in their group. Well, who are we? Well, we're Americans of every race, color, and creed that just want freedom and our country and our republic. Well, then you better start acting like it.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. final lap of the third hour. And we're taking your calls, of course, if you want to call on in. We're going to make our way down the call list right now. But the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're taking your calls relevant to the topics we've discussed thus far. Let's kick things off with our friend Bart in Georgia. Bart, welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call, and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Christmas.
Obviously, Bill Clinton is a pervert, and so is Hillary. They've got the smoking gun, but nobody is going to be prosecuted here because Cass Patel is obviously more interested in using his position to pick up women that are out of his league than chasing crime, and that's very frustrating. Had to get you with that one. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bart, we're sitting back and waiting and waiting and waiting. You know, Pam Bondi put out a tweet. She said that she takes these things seriously and that if there's any victims that come forward and report to the DOJ, her office, or Todd Blanche's office, or the FBI, the same FBI, by the way, who's buried several people who came forward to blow the whistle on Epstein and to say that he had a thing for child porn. I just found actually that document just a second ago. But again, we're learning more and more about the cover-up. And so, you know, I don't think there's any type of desire to go after these people, although the AG says that she is actively looking to do just that. So, yeah, it's a whole bunch of garbage, and they continue to feed it to us. Bart, thank you for jumping on the show. Let's turn to Bulldog in Oklahoma. Bulldog, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ms. Morello. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
All right. Hey, I just wanted to plug real quick. I love the methylene blue, and I love the sea moss. Oh. It has been a game changer for me.
Yeah.
Ms. Morello, I talked to you the other day about the actors, we'll call them, that are protesting these Islamic mosques.
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, city council voted to allow a mosque to be built in Broken Arrow, and the people in the community were highly against it. And that's why I was, when I spoke with you the other day, I just wanting to get some information maybe just to see if that's going to take place here.
Yeah.
And outside of that, my only other thing, and I'll make it short. I just want to get your thoughts on, is it Ghislaine Maxwell?
Uh-huh.
And why everything has just went so silent with her and all the information she has. I don't understand why they just can't pull the prosecutions out of that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, she's looking for a pardon, is what we heard last time with the DOJ. By the way, that Todd Blanche recording that was dropped of his discussions with Maxwell, it seemed like nothing of substance, honestly. And like you said, Bulldog, you know, they could pull a lot of information. They have thousands of pages of documents, and they, for some reason, can't construct a list of individuals who were participants in the abuse of children. Apparently, they can't. They also have victims, several victims who are alive, who are actively speaking out, and one would think you'd reach out to them as well, but unfortunately, they're not doing that. So I would say that there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. It's because they are all just mouthpieces at this point to these deep state operatives that want to cover all this up. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, it's obviously a cover-up, and they promised us these files. They're slowly trickling down. I get it. It does take time, but it's sloppy. They've been doing this since day one. They knew this was going to come out eventually, and they needed Congress to push them to do just that. And so here we are. But you also mentioned the mosque in Oklahoma. I mean, it's happening everywhere. We need to push back on all of this. Again, there's ways to do that. You know, Tulsi Gabbard coming out and gave a great speech about how it's taking over cities like Dearborn, Michigan. And we obviously seeing it playing out throughout Houston, Texas, Dallas, Texas. I mean, it is a takeover. And I keep telling people, like, you think it's happening in someone else's state. Do you think, oh, I live in a red state, I'm safe? I mean, it's happening where you are, too. Broken Arrow, you just said. Again, we have the article up right now. I mean, this is absolute garbage that they're doing this, but it's happening everywhere. It's happening everywhere. And people just don't understand how important this issue is. This is a top priority. It should be for all Americans. This isn't that they're coming here to live amongst us. They want to coexist. This is a hostile takeover. This is an invasion. This is, I don't know how else to scream about this. This is a takeover. This is a takeover. These are people that are on a mission to conquer the West. And they've done it throughout Europe, and they're coming here. And everyone in Europe has been warning us that our politicians just sold this out and allowed this to happen. And here we are now in the United States, and we've been given all the information we need to know what's happening. It's a matter of whether the people in this country accept it or not. again, crack open a Quran, read it for yourself. This isn't just people who are not looking to coexist with others from other religions. That's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. And so again, I'll keep highlighting the fact that this is a takeover, Bulldog, and everyone in Oklahoma and other red states better wake up. You think that they're not coming? They're coming. They're coming. They're buying up chunks of land, building mosques. They're lying to the American people about just that. They don't want you to know what's going on. It's happening. It's happening. You know, they brought up my aunt in New York. They bought her farm and she didn't know that it was going to become a mosque. She had a beautiful farm that she was doing business on for years. And when she decided to leave New York and she was going to move down south, she sold it to people that she didn't know were going to create a mosque. Then months later, they started constructing a mosque on her property, her old property. So again, they're here. They're not telling us the truth. They're lying to us. That's not just happening in New York. Again, it's happening all across this country. They're buying up even old churches. Look at the old churches that are being bought out. I believe that just recently, within last year, I saw like three different separate stories of churches being bought out throughout Florida and being converted to mosques. Folks, it's an invasion. It is an invasion. You know, the call to prayer, we all laugh because it sounds so foolish. But the reality of it is they don't do this in their own country. This isn't to insert dominance. They have taken over. They will do what they want. They pretend too that it's a religion so they could try to push forward that they have a First Amendment right to these things, but they don't because it's not a religion. And so, yeah, the rest of this country, Bulldog, I'll let you have the final word. They better wake up before it's too late. I'll let you add to that, Bulldog, before we turn to the next caller.
Yes, ma'am. I agree with everything that you just said 100% about the people needing to wake up. This country was built by hardworking people, and I don't care what color you are. I don't care about your religion. When it all boils down to it, we're Americans, and that's what we need to understand. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter your beliefs. Safety and numbers. We're united. That's why our forefathers did what they did. And I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Christ is King. Thank you, Ms. Morello.
Yes. Well, thank you, Bulldog, for calling in. And Merry Christmas to you, my friend. We appreciate you calling into the show. Let's turn to Ryan in North Carolina. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Good. First of all, I want to give a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to all the info dogs out there, because I know a lot of the listeners are dog people.
Yes.
And the dogs need to have a Merry Christmas, too. I'm sure you're going to spoil your two dogs, too.
Yes, yes. They will be very spoiled. They will be, they always get a turkey, so they'll get a little turkey of their own.
Goodness gracious, great. So my main reason my call is so Ring cameras, the new familiar faces, optional facial recognition feature. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know about when they have those Ring cameras, those are opt out like options. Like So if you don't know that your camera is like scanning every face that walks past, like you have to opt out of that, and it's supposed to make it it's supposed to make it more convenient for the homeowner. Like, oh, Chris is on the front porch, not person on the front porch. So we all know Amazon owns Ring, mm-hmm. So they also have Sidewalk. Sidewalk. So like, if your internet goes out and I'm your next door neighbor, I can tap off of your Wi-Fi to keep my device on connected to the internet. So to put those two together, it's like a binary agent. This goes behind, you know, it violates Fourth Amendment, but now who has access to Amazon's database? So CIA does. Mm-hmm. So they're basically circumventing the Fourth Amendment through privatized companies while, like, telling us, we're going to make your house more secure. And I think that's, like, a big psyop that a lot of people aren't realizing. I know a lot of people that have Ring cameras, they're on, when I walk through the neighborhood, maybe I want to say 70 out of 100 houses have, you know, some type of Ring camera or Wyze camera on them, and they're implementing this now. And when you update your software, it's an opt-out. It's not an opt-in. So you can't choose to use it. You have to choose not to use it. And if you don't know how to use the software properly, you're just collecting data for the mega brain.
It's so frustrating because we're limited, right? Because, like, you want to secure your home when you're away and you need some type of resource to do that, and Ring is easily accessible, affordable, and then you see this get thrown at that. I mean, it's so crazy, right? And I'm glad you put that on our radar, so thank you. But again, I mean, the fact that we allow this to happen is so crazy to me. You know, Texas, they do make some privacy laws. And we reported it last week too, the Paxton suing like the TV manufacturers, because it's not just our government. It's also like the Chinese. I mean, they sell us our televisions and they extract our data and then ship it back to the CCP, and they have access to it too. So it's just technology. It makes things convenient, but it's chipping away at all of our personal rights. And, it's quite disturbing. Ryan, thank you for sharing that with us. And Merry Christmas. We appreciate you calling into the show and giving us that little background on that story. So thank you. Let's turn to Danny in California. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, yo, what's up? Good morning, Deanna.
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
Chilling. It's good to hear your voice. I was calling about the CDL, but all that, like, you know, illegal immigrants getting all that stuff. It's crazy out here because I'm here from Central Valley. So, you know, there's a lot of, like, agriculture and, like, trucking and all that stuff. And it's like, dang, in a span of 10 years, it just boomed, just crazy. Indians everywhere driving trucks. I don't know if they got, you know, if they're illegal or not, but kind of trippy.
Yeah, I did like a deep dive on one show, Danny. If you missed it, you should take a look. Just Google about the Indians in California and how they've been doing. There's been several charged over the years, with just, they're running the schools, the CDL schools. They're also buying access into the DMVs so that these Indians could, pass. They get their CDL licenses, but also the schools are also compliant. They're Indian owned, and then they go to the Indian owned truck companies as well. So, it's all well documented. This has been going on for years. And, you know, we haven't really received any update on how many illegals who obtained these CDLs under the Biden regime for the last 4 years, how many of them were behind fatal car crashes. I'm sure the number would be out of this world, though, and it would be devastating. But again, it's something that needs to be taken on. We're glad that the Trump administration is doing just that. Just a matter of, I mean, how do you get these people off the roads? They don't belong in this country in the first place. They're unable to speak English. They're lying. The DMV is helping them lie in California specifically to get these licenses. And then you have, like, when these drivers are accused of killing innocent people who are just on the roads with them, they're released on $100,000 bail bond, and they won't even let ICE pick them up. So no surprise there. Danny, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it, of course. Folks, I also want to turn to... Let's turn to John in Missouri. John, welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
I can, John. Welcome. How are you?
All right. Good morning. Merry Christmas to everybody. And remember, without Christ, there is no Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, over the weekend, I was alerted to some information about Pam Bondi that I did not know. I was originally in her court when she first came out. I thought, man, she's going to be all right. Well, you know, obvious has happened and she's not doing anything. And the Bush boys are in her corner really big. And I did not know that Jeb Bush is one of her biggest cheerleaders. Have you heard anything about that?
Back up that one last question for me a bit. Repeat that for me.
Jeb Bush is in Pam Bondi's corner. And I did not know that until this weekend. It was brought to my attention. He is a huge cheerleader for her.
Well, that's no surprise. I think there was, and I'd have to go back into my mental archives. I know that they have a strong, okay, so they do have a long-standing political relationship in Florida. That's what I was thinking back to. I remember him backing her back in 2016 when she was AG, I think it was. So they have definitely had a long-going relationship, the two, which is strange. It's actually funny because I was talking to someone, too, and they'd say that, like, anyone who worked the Bushes back in the day wasn't allowed into the second Trump administration. They intentionally pushed them out. But, yeah, no, she's been backed by them for a while now, and it's gone back for a couple of years. But that's not really surprising.
Yeah, it just really bothered me, and I was like, well, no wonder we're not getting anything done because, you know, obviously George W. doesn't like Trump.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, that's just what I had for you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, John. We appreciate it. Yeah, oh, there you go. Congratulations to Pam Bondi. Yeah, I remember seeing that. Oh, yeah, that was the confirmation. Well, right after the confirmation, I had to say that's when she was named, I believe, as the pick. So in 2016, Bondi endorsed Jeb. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a strong connection there. It's a matter of me just digging into all of it and mapping it all out. But yes, you are correct, John. There is a massive thing there. Yeah, it's one of the many reasons. I mean, she was not great in Florida, but for some reason people forgot about the stuff that she did in Florida. So no surprise there. John, thank you for calling. Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank you for calling into the show. Let's turn to Benny in Tennessee. Benny, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm not going to come across with any political story or nothing like that. I'm going to just try to spread a little knowledge because sometimes we need to help with the economy ourselves. Sometimes you just need to do something for yourself.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to teach everybody that's listening a little trick. You can get gas extremely cheap if you shop at, I don't know, all the different companies that work with it, but Kroger's, Fry's, all those different companies. If you buy the gift cards there, you get four times. This is what I do. I buy $400 worth of gift cards. I get 1,600 points, which is $1.60 a gallon off of gas. And then on Fridays, they have a thing where if you buy groceries there, you get four times whatever groceries you spend. So if you're going to spend the money on groceries anyway, buy the gift cards, get 400, four times points, and then spend the gift cards and get four times more points. So for $400 original purchase, you end up getting 3,200 points, which is $3.20 off a gallon, which means you can get your gallon literally for 0.9 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I filled up my wife's and my car, we got 35 gallons for 66 cents.
Wow. Benny.
And it's there all the time.
That's awesome. I actually did see that, though. I did see that when I was pumping over at Kroger. And I was like, that seems like a good deal. But, I mean, that's so smart. So walk our audience through one more time just to make sure that they are all paying attention. So the gift card part of this, walk us from
that. Okay. You buy a Visa or a MasterCard for $100. And I buy four of them. So I get $400 worth of cash that I'm going to spend in the month anyway. I can use them online. I can use them at the store, but I make sure to use them at Kroger. So I get the four times points, and then take those four cards that are already made you 1,600 points, and you go and spend them on your groceries at Kroger. On Fridays, they have four times points, and you can actually get five times points if you're a Boost member. But, yeah, so you end up with 3,200 points for an original $400 purchase. If you go spend that $400 at Kroger's on Friday, and 3,200 points gets you $3.20 off a gallon, which where I'm at now, gas is $2.15 a gallon at Kroger. So I literally get almost free gas and still have points left over for the next fill-up.
I love that. I love that. Benny, thank you for sharing that with us because that's really, really important these days to save some extra cash too. I'm like I do the digital couponing. My friends always laugh at me, but I'm like, no, because wait until you see. I just got I just cashed out on one of my apps and I had $150 in cash back and I just bought a Target gift card with it. And that's it. It's a free $150. So, I mean, like, whenever you could save money, do it. That's a great tip though, Benny. So thank you for sharing that with our audience and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, my friend. We appreciate you calling
Merry
in and sharing
you.
That. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's turn to Matthew in New York. Matthew, welcome to the show. Matthew, you with us?
Yep. Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good, good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, so I basically just want to put this out there to all your listeners. We won the popular vote. We won the election. We just can't seem to get it together locally. And until we get it together locally, it doesn't matter what we do, who we put in as president, because in your local community, that's going to dictate what happens around you. If you don't want a mosque being built in your town, then you have to get on the town board. If you don't want your taxes so high, then you have to get on the city council. Like, until we actually put in the groundwork besides one day voting, if you turn on your YouTube page and type in your town you live in or the city you live in, there's more than likely not a live stream of the council that's happening and debating. And until we get more involved, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what Trump changes. It doesn't matter anything because there's going to be people that bleed in that are corrupted. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter if we're under a king or if we're under a democracy. If the people that are elected are corrupt, then the people are going to be subject to corruption. So until we could actually vote, until we could actually get involved, until we could actually come together and create change, and nothing's going to change.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, I mean, I think I said it before, too, in New York when I was living there, I tried my best to be a part of the change. I mean, I tried to run for a state senate But the GOPs, the county level GOPs are just so corrupt that it's infuriating. I mean, they all have their hands in these different pots and
they do, but it takes the majority. It takes like you, it takes like me, it takes a bunch of other people too, to get in there and tell this to the public so that the public gets involved. Just us trying to get involved and then being kicked out because we have the numbers. The majority of the people agree with what we believe in, but we just don't get involved. And we need to find a way, whether it be a book for dummies, how to petition for dummies or what, if you have to wear Meta glasses and go in and do everything. Like, we have to figure out a way that we could get the next generation, the current generation, involved besides just voting. Because 10 years now, 20 years now, if we do get it figured out, our children, our grandchildren are going to run into the same issues. It's been a reoccurring thing since the dawn of the United States.
Yeah.
We have to safeguard our freedom. And we don't, people are lazy.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm lazy too. And when you're unmotivated, the people around you don't really hold their freedoms close and are willing to go the extra mile to put everything on the line in their own local community, whether there's just so many aspects of it that it's just so hard to get into. But until we actually realize that our founding fathers gave us the tools to be able to change it. But unless we act and use those tools ourselves, instead of having politicians use those tools, unless we use those tools ourselves at the local level, nothing is going to change. A president can't come in and even if he does, you see it, these little pockets across the country, they, I guess, hold the power because they're the only ones that are actually willing to put their foot down and do something, whether it be fighting the president's agenda or promoting the president's agenda, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It boils down to the local action in the community. And I hate to say it, but whatever pathway you look at it all boils down. That is the root issue. Because if there is a civil war and there is something and we get our freedom back, we still have to safeguard it. We have to be involved. Otherwise, these people are going to slither with their way back in. And even now, like, the only proper way to change everything is to do it. Is to get involved, is to get on the local level. Because Senate, Congress, the House of Reps, like, yeah, that takes a long time, and it's a reason for that. It takes a long time for that change to happen. If you want direct, immediate change, you have to get involved locally. And it's so important to me because people don't realize, like, you could have immediate, direct change just by going down. Like, you want a protest? Well, protest in your city hall. You know where these politicians live. You could actually get change in real-time results by exercising your rights at the local level. And until we do that, until people realize, like, hey, it doesn't matter what happens, the generations before us had the freedom to not get involved.
Yeah.
But now we don't have that freedom anymore. We have to get involved because if we don't get involved, there's no future. Like, being a 30-year-old disabled combat veteran, how can I want to procreate in this world and bring someone up in this world when it's going to be a lot worse? Like, you're taking my ability to even want to bring life into this world away. And when you do that, it's not, as a population, it's not a good route to go down. Because if I feel this way, I know hundreds of other people feel this way.
Yeah, Matthew, you're definitely not alone. We're up against the clock, though, because we got to go. But Matthew, thank you for calling into the show. We appreciate it. Matthew's right. Everyone has to get involved. You have to play your part and get involved in the election process. Folks, if you called in today and we didn't get to your call, sorry. We'll try again possibly tomorrow. So thank you very much for waiting on hold, though. We greatly appreciate your time. All right. Like I said, we're up against a hard break. That does it for us on the Monday edition of the American Journal. We appreciate you joining us. Of course, Harrison Smith will be here in studio tomorrow joining me to give us a history lesson on Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa, not a real holiday, but a little clue there. We'll see you again next time, of course. In the meantime, though, the Alex Jones Show is next. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, though, in the meantime, and make sure you indulge on all of the savings there.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. the receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, St. Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Undecided for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of the Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.